Good morning, everyone. Let's take our seats and we'll call our meeting to order. We'll begin with our invocation. It's a pleasure to be able to introduce to you Nityandra Chandra Das from Kalanchandis, located in the Far East Dallas. The temple is known for its vegetarian cuisine. He was born and raised in Hawaii, and since then he studied the scriptures of the East and became a monk at the age of 19. He studied in India and teaches regularly at various colleges, temples, churches, and high schools. And we are pleased to welcome Minister Chandra Das to City Hall. Please rise for the invocation.
Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Nitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. O Lord, you are the dearest well-wishing friend of all. You even accompany us in our very own hearts to give us guidance. But due to the independence that love requires, this foolish soul, myself, has turned away from you. And now in my foolishness, I misidentify the body as the self and look upon others in inequality. O Lord, with your shining torchlight of knowledge and mercy, please grace us so that we may see all this clearly, that we may know that all are your sons and daughters, and you are our very own Father, known by many different names. O Lord, Sri Krishna, please grant us all this wisdom, for such knowledge enables us to act in a way that benefits all. Allow us to conduct the affairs of the city of Dallas in this wisdom for the benefit and happiness of all of its citizens. So now I'll read a verse from Scripture. This is from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, text number 65.
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Prahladananda Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharishitarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prasade Sarvadukanam Hanir Asyo Pajayate Prasana Chetasyo Hyaso Bhudya Vyatish Datate. Translation: on achieving the causeless mercy of the Lord, one's threefold misery is caused by the body and mind, caused by other living entities, and caused by nature itself, exists no longer. And in such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence becomes well established. Thank you very much. Amen.
We appreciate you being with you. Now I'd like to introduce Danny Leland. Danny is a sixth grader parish. He's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance today, and I have the honor of having him be with me today. Danny, please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As many of you know, we have set a big goal for ourselves, and that is to become the greenest city in America. You know, 10 years ago, it would be difficult for us to look at anybody and say that we were a leader. But not only are we just part of the pack now, we have forged ourselves to the forefront of leadership in green issues. The city of Dallas is well on its way, and we have dozens of initiatives and programs in place to green our operations and the way that we do business in Dallas. But the city government cannot do it alone. There are many Dallas businesses, organizations, citizens who also are working very hard to build a greener Dallas. Last year, we asked for a means to recognize the ingenuity and the grassroots efforts of these folks as they work thanklessly towards helping us realize this vision of a green, sustainable future. Our Environmental Health Commission, with the assistance of city staff, met this challenge, and today I'm proud to present the first ever City of Dallas Mayors Environmental Excellence Awards. And just like the Oscars and the Grammys, these are the MIA Awards. Earlier this morning, we had a chance to recognize all of the projects which were nominated for consideration. And there were an awful lot of them, but I can tell you they were great efforts. But their efforts are worthy of mentioning again. I would like each one of you to stand when I call your name in no particular order. And they are the first LEED certified home and first LEED platinum home in Dallas. That was by Alan Hoffman, LLC. St. Green at Green by Univision, KUVN, Channel 23. The ExxonMobil Green Team Intern Project, hosted by the Dallas iMedia Network. The ExxonMobil Green Team, hosted by the Student Conservation Association. The ExxonMobil Green Team, hosted by the Texas Discovery Gardens. Cease the grease abatement program by the Dallas Water Utilities. Ultra Mister Evaporative Pre-Cooler by Mist Ecology. Bathhouse Butterfly Garden at the White Rock Lake by the Dallas County Master Gardener Association. Recycling Education by the North Texas Corporate Recycling Association. Hashu Nui, the Environmental Program, the Yavne Academy of Dallas. Project Green by WFAA TV, Channel 8. The Mountain View College Green Team at the Mountain View College. Stormwater Pollution Prevention Education by Marshall Motors. And finally, the SDA Green Team at the St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic School. Now, I'd like to introduce to you Sharon Patterson. Sharon? Sharon's going to help me make these awards. I think all of you know Sharon so many different ways. She heads up the congregation of Highland Hills Methodist Church. She is also chairman of our Environmental Commission. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, the boards and commissions in the city of Dallas sometimes don't get the visibility that they deserve. But there are an awful lot of people that put their time and effort in, work awfully hard, and make this city a lot better. So, Sharon, could I have you and all of your commissioners stand up so we can recognize them? Sharon, we're going to give you the awards. All 15 of these organizations should be commended for their dedication towards making our city a little bit greener, as it is that very distinction which will continue to keep our economy vibrant and our citizens healthy for years to come. Now, I'd like to introduce our winners to the first ever MIA Awards. So, Sharon, we ready to do it? Terrific. In the category of large business, in Council Member Medrano's district, Project Green by WFAA TV Channel 8. Sharon, you want to hold up one of those green awards so everybody can see it? Terrific. Yeah. In the non-profit, not-for-profit category in Councilmember Hunt's district, the Student Conservation Association for hosting the ExxonMobil Green Team. In the small business category, Eat Green and Live Green by State and Allen Lounge. For the governmental agency, Cease the Grease by the Dallas Water Utility. And finally, in the student or school organization, if I could, I'd like to have all three of the high school teams come up here, please. And the reason for that is very simple. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really the future of our city. All of these students know the importance of environmental stewardship, and they know that this planet is not just ours, but it has to be for generations into the future. Therefore, it's with a lot of pleasure that I award each of you with a MIA for our inaugural year. That's the St. Thomas Aquinas SDA Green Team, the Mountain View College Green Team, and from the Yavne Academy, Hashinui. If I could have Councilmember Hunt, which is St. Thomas is in her district, the Mountain View College Green Team, and Dr. Garcia, and then finally Ms. Coop. In the Yavne Academy. Way to go, guys. Well, again, congratulations to all of our recipients. Before we go into our agenda, Ms. Davis? I think we've got some good news that we want to share in regard to the great James Madison High School. Does that sound right?
I am here today to recognize a very, very special school and a special team. The principal, Ms. Willard, pretend to have the team to come and stand behind me as I recognize this wonderful, wonderful school in which I graduated from in 1980, from the great, great James Madison High School, which we call the mighty, mighty, mighty Trojan. They won the Texas State Class 3A UIL State Championship. So we need to give it up for them. Give it up for Madison. Yeah. They are taller than I am. Golly. The school color is green and gold. For the mighty, mighty Trojan, I have on my green. Now, let me have on a yellow tie, so I'm going to make him part of the team. I did not have a yellow shirt, but I am so happy about the mighty, mighty Trojan. I'm going to read some of the recognition. I'm not going to read all of it. Each young male would get a special recognition, plus the superintendent, Dr. Michael Hanna-Hosa, the school board trustee, Mr. Ron Price from District 9, he will also get a recognition, and Ms. Willard, the principal of James Madison, and the coach and staff. As it is said, whereas head coach Damian Mosley and his staff represents our nation's finest example for teaching profession and serve as a role model for leadership and team commitment. And I'm going to skip down, and whereas the mighty Trojans demonstrated good sportsmanship as well as outstanding activity ability in their quest to victory, and whereas the 2009 has been an excellent hard-fought season, on March the 14th, 2009, at the Madison Trojans successfully defeated Lovett Exeter at the Franklin Ewing Center with a winning score of 68-66. And they was crowned the Texas State Class A UIL State Champion. And whereas the City of Dallas commends Dallas Independent School District Superintendent Michael Hanna-Hosa, School Board Trustee Rob Parson, District 9, James Madison High School Principal Ms. Willard, the Director Jeffrey Johnson, who I graduate with, Head Coach Damian Mosley, Assistant Coach Tracy Flint Troy, Mr. Livingston, Caswell, Mr. Buckner, the trainer, Ms. Moore, teachers, parents, students, community leaders, and loyal supporters. And whereas all the persons who have worked together to instill the importance of academic achievement, good character, sportsmanship in these young men, and whereas the City of Dallas would like to thank Chris. Come on out, Chris. Chris Islam, the Chief Executive Officer of Jack in the Box, located at 1228 Robert B. Collins. Come on, Chris. For sponsoring a reception for the James Madison Boys basketball team, and whereas the City of Dallas is proud of these young men have earned and a positive attention to their victory have brought to the City of Dallas, especially in my district, which is District 7. Now, therefore, I, Carolyn R. Davis, Council Member of District 7, and on behalf of the Mayor and the City Council, do hereby extend a special recognition to Ms. Willard. Come on up. You know, Ms. Willard has really worked extremely hard at James Madison High School. She has turned that school around. It is now a worthy school of academic achievement. She has done an outstanding job. And I want everybody to know how hard you worked at that school. That's why these young men won the championship, because of your leadership. So I want to say thank you for all the hard work that you do.
Good morning. On behalf of the great James Madison High School, we are elated that you all have reached back and to touch us and just to say thank you. What an outstanding job. It's nice to know when these young men go to compete that we are able to bring a championship back to this city, because Dallas has really flourished. And we really appreciate the hard work that the mayor has done and the council members here. Thank you. Academically, we are number one. Our theme this year are champions of excellence, and that's what we have standing before you. So thank you for inviting us. Thank you for being a part of our lives. We are having a parade on Saturday morning beginning at 10 o'clock. We would like you all to come down and support the great James Madison High School and the community of Southern South Dallas. Thank you.
And what I want Mayor Leppert to do, Mayor Leppert, come on up, and then you're going to read out the names as I shake their hand, so this is how we'll partner together.
I also want to, I was visiting with the coaching staff. There are five seniors on this team. All five are going to college. Okay, start right here.
Yeah.
Okay, Damian Mobley, of course, the coach of the boys basketball team at the great James Madison High School. There you go. Coach? Tracy Plantroy, who's the assistant coach of the boys basketball team. I used to feel tall. Okay, Timothy Flint, right, number four, a guard on the team. There you go. This is a family affair, isn't it? Desmond Plantroy, number five, another guard. Keenan Armstrong, number 10, another guard. Simeon Brinkley, number 11, another guard. Stanley Bell, number 12, a forward. James Higgins, number 14, another forward. Kevin Harris, number 15, forward. Carol Alfano is just standing next to me. Josh LaPaul, number 20, forward. Josh. Dante Metzger, number 21, forward. Elton Garrett, number 25, a forward. Dominique Smith, number 31, a guard. Dominique Smith. And Nick Moore, number 32, a forward. Yeah. And then we also want to recognize an important sponsor of the team, and that's Christopher Aslam, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Jack in the Box. Hey, good to see you again. Well, thank you very much, and again, congratulations to the whole team. Coach, terrific job. Thank you very much. Mr. Carraway, you want to make a comment?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And let me just say to the James Madison Trojans while they're over there posing for Hollywood, you guys think y'all can play some basketball. But we're going to have to do something about it. Now, we're going to see about, Coach, this is what we're going to do. One, we're going to put together a team. Okay? I'm going to play. The mayor is going to play. Tennille, Councilman Atkins is going to play. Councilman Chevy Cadane is going to play. Machinsky is going to play. And Jerry Allen is going to play. And here's the deal. Now, Mitch is going to be the coach. now, here's the deal. Angela and Councilwoman Hill and Madrona and Garcia and Coop, and they're going to be the cheerleaders. All right? And we're coming over to Madison, and we're going to play you guys. We're going to try to do every single thing we can to make sure we have all of the paramedics and everybody got to be with us. But on a serious note, let me say that all of Dallas was so very proud to see the green and gold James Madison Trojans on television and representing our city and bringing back the bacon to sunny South Dallas. I want you all to know that. You all are to be commended. Councilwoman Davis is so proud of you. She's won parades and just every single thing. So all of those things are going to take place because as I was watching one of the television interviews, one of the Trojans, one of you guys say, we want a parade. Well, we know you deserve to have that. You all represented us. I want you to know that. You all represented this city. You look good, you're dressed well, you're professionals, you're seeking your education, you're going to go far in life. You're not over there with your pants hanging down, so you know that's my favorite thing. And when you know that you have people looking up to you, you have a responsibility because you put yourself on Front Street just from being good. So folks are watching you. Continue to lead. Continue to get your education. Continue to represent James Madison and the city of Dallas. We love you, and we're going to be there for you. This is your city. This is your time. Congratulations, all right?
And I don't want to even think about how much trouble we'd be in at that basketball game. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, Sharon. Are you sure the Trojan is in your district or in District 8? Can we move into District 8?
No.
But again, you know, these major Trojans, I'm calling them major because they made a major impact in the city of Dallas. You know, y'all put the city of Dallas back on the map, especially in sunny South Dallas. Also, education, you know, I know all y'all have a great education background, scholarship to different universities. But I would like one person, his name is Elton Garrett. Will you stand forward, please? Now, this man right here, you know, his dad and me play football together at SMU. So, this is what you do when you play ball at SMU, or when you go to SMU on the basketball team, we need some help over there. So, but the key is that when you have generation, we learn from the past to the present to the future. And when the parents go back and send his kid back to the past, where he went to school at, now we're in the present today, because he did look in the past of Southern South Dallas, he didn't take his kid out of the city of Dallas, out of the Dallas Penn School District, he left his son here in the city of Dallas. And look where you're at today. We are proud of you to be a citizen in the city of Dallas, We are proud of you, what you did for the state of Dallas. We are also proud of your daddy who let you stay here. Even though his father did not live in the state of Dallas, but he went to school in the state of Dallas. And thank you for being here, and thank you for all the Trojans for your accomplishment. Thank you.
Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilwoman Davis, thank you for bringing this wonderful team and this occasion to the attention of this council and the entire city. With your permission, Councilwoman, I would like to call forward those seniors and ask them to tell this council and this city where they will be attending college.
I think there's a couple that haven't decided yet.
If you're undecided, that's fine. Just tell me your name and that you're undecided.
My name is Dante, and I'm going to Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. All right.
Terrific. My name is Donnie Smith, and I'm undecided yet.
That's all right. We've got 4,000 undergraduate colleges in this country. There's one that will fit you.
My name is Joshua LaFall, and I will either be attending Prairie View A&M University or Clark Atlanta University.
All right.
James Higgins, and I'm undecided.
That's all right. He's undecided.
Nick Moore, and I'm undecided right now.
That's all right. Young men, come on.
Simeon Brinkley, undecided.
Okay.
Keenan Armstrong, undecided.
Okay. Is that all of the seniors, Mr. Councilwoman? To young men headed for college, even if you're undecided, wherever you choose to pursue higher education, be successful. College is such a privilege. It is the gateway to a bright future. Education will take you places that you would never imagine that you can go. Education is my thing. Everybody knows that. I have gone to a lot of schools, and that's not because I'm so bright, I'm so wonderful. It's because I recognize, because my great-grandma taught me that education was the future to success. You young men, don't just go to college. You make sure that you stay in college and you finish college. The road will get rough and the going will get tough. But when it does, you remember today how you achieved in basketball, and remember that you can do that same thing in education. I'll be looking for you as lawyers, doctors, preachers, teachers, the whole gamut, because college opens all of that up for you. Don't stop. Finish. All the best to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Allen, please.
First of all, gentlemen, congratulations to you. Winning state championships, big time. I was honored in 1968 to be the captain of the state 3A. Basketball team from Lake Highlands, Texas. That's 41 years ago. 41 years ago, I played basketball, won state championship, just like you. So I'm in that same brotherhood that you guys are in. One of the things that it taught me over all those years, I look back on, is just what you guys have done. Dreams come true. Dreams come true. That's a big dream. You put the work in to make it happen. Dreams come true for those that have the courage to pursue them. You just learned that. You just learned that dream will come true. Whatever you do, just set that high standard, that high mark. Because what you just accomplished, you just showed yourself you can do anything you want to do. Anything you want to do, you just did it. And man, you got a long life in front of you. You got a lot of great achievements in front of you. And again, 41 years ago, I played on that court, and I guarantee you it's something I'm proud of, and I'm proud of you guys, because I know the level of intensity that it took to get to that level to be the state champions, and you're going to be the state champions the rest of your life. Congratulations to you.
So who wants to go one-on-one with Mr. Allen? Dr. Garcia.
Thank you. And I'm sure that Madison doesn't have to worry about the council team. Well, with that being said, I want to congratulate you all for the achievement. I believe that all of you have the opportunity to go into college. As the mother of a senior that is going to college, I have to tell you, the choices are there for all of you. And I want you to know that if you need any help, we'll be here to help you. With the letters of recommendations, with all the paperwork, which, Mayor, goodness gracious, I mean, I thought that as a council member, I've seen all the paper that I can see in 1 week. Well, once I have college applications in front of me, I was, you know, just as that. Amazed of how much paperwork and how much they require nowadays. So I want you to know that you have friends here in the Dallas City Council that will be ready to help you to go into college so you can decide as soon as possible because time is ticking. And like Judge Phil said, you all have the ability and the opportunity to get in there. The opportunities, the scholarships, and the help are out there. We just have to be sure that you all know how to reach it. So congratulations again to all of you. Mayor, one quick thing about the recycling. Thank you for your leadership on the MIA Awards. I don't know that they're the Grammys or the Emmys, but with that being said, it's a step forward. And in our city where we went in less than 10 years from 3% recycling rate to what, more than 50%, it's a great achievement for our city. Thank you all for participating. Thanks and congratulations to all our winners. You all deserve it. I want to mention just one person, Channel 23 Univision, Ana Maria Vargas. I have worked real hard in educating in Spanish language media, and I appreciate all her efforts. I'm glad to see her in the finalists. She has done a great job as well. And last but not least, Mayor, I hope you indulge me. I want to introduce Mr. Tim Upshaw, Director of the Prostate Screening and Awareness Program for Methodist Hospital. As we all know, Methodist is the largest employer in the southern sector. Mr. Upshaw, I know you're here. Would you please stand up and be recognized? You know, thank you for being here today. Mayor, Methodist is doing free prostate screenings here at City Hall today from 10 to 2 and Friday from 10 to 2 as well. It's another program that Mr. Opsha has been working for a long time, and the numbers of men that decided to go and have the screening have dramatically increased. Mr. Opsha, congratulations to you and Methodist Hospital for continuing to do what is right when it comes to health in our community. So thank you for being here. And last but not least, Mayor, I want to introduce the Honorable Ed Oakley, which is here in the house as well. Mr. Oakley, as always, it's great to see you. Thank you.
Dana, I think you had a couple of comments for our team.
I did. Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to congratulate each and every one of you. And let me tell you, you all have set higher standards for yourselves, and you need to expect that of others, and you need to be that example. So you guys, and right now where you're standing, you say, well, what more can I do? You can. This is just the beginning for you guys. You've got a long way to go, and you've got a lot of great things that are going to happen to you. You just keep that in mind. And also, I'm glad to know Dallas has another team. You are today Dallas's team, and we're able to say that about a championship team. So as far as I'm concerned, you're Dallas's team. Thank you guys for what you did for us.
Also, I want to thank Mayor Leppert for what he has done in front of James Madison High School. Mayor Leppert, I wanted to personally thank you for the landscaping that you put forth. You went out and raised the money. You worked with the principal at Madison. The Trojan, the landscaping, it just makes the whole boulevard look totally different.
Right.
And so thank you for doing that.
Ms. Davis, thank you very much. I want to make sure that we thank Atmos Energy. They were the ones that really came to bat and helped, and the front of James Madison, the great James Madison, excuse me, principal, looks terrific. And I don't want to let a neat lady get away without again calling on her a little bit, because she has made some great progress, not only what you see on the basketball team, but I'd like to say a couple more words about what's happening academically at James Madison, because I know you're pushing real hard on a number of different fronts with some good results. Ms. Principal Willard.
One of the things that happened about 4 years ago, I'm in my fourth year at the Great James Madison High School. When I went there, we were a low-performing campus. We were going into stage four. At that point, we had to sit down at the table to see what was going on. Why is it that we were falling so far behind? Children can learn if they know how much you care about them. And they can work if teachers are willing to give 100%. One of the things we did, we put a plan into place, and we worked the plan. We got off the list the first year, we stayed off the second year, and we're off again this year. This year we were given some challenges when they invited the students over for Spruce High School, eighth grader Spruce. Those students came in and have given 110%. They fell into place. Our scores are going up. We had seniors who had not taken the tax test. We had 44 students in math, and out of the 44, we have 12 who have not successfully passed that test. But they have shown growth, and that's to be commended. In English language arts, we had a total of 37. Right now, we have 6 students who have not completed that test, and we're waiting on the results so they could have passed. In science, we had a total of 44. Right now in science, we have 3 students who did not pass that test. And social studies, we had a total of 44. We have 2 who have not passed that test. And so those students have really come in and worked. Education is at the forefront of the Great James Madison High School, and we make no excuses because this is what we're here for. When I met the mayor, I guess about 3 years ago, he said we had one opportunity to do it right. And we did not want to be a part of that was not doing it right. And I applaud you for just stepping up and putting education at the forefront, because at the Great James Madison High School, it's academics first. And I can say the young men that are standing behind me, they are smart students. They're not our average students. These are students who have achieved academically. They're saying that they don't know where they're going to college because we just completed the basketball season, and there are different coaches talking to these young men. So you can't make a commitment until you're sure as to where you're going. So academics, we will continue to strive for excellence. We are the champions of excellence, and that's what we're doing here. And thank you for your support.
Terrific. And Madison. And Madison has been a great partner with us on the Mayor's Scholarship Program, on the internship program, and as I said, this is a lady that I can tell you I spent some time with, and she is absolutely dedicated to take every one of those kids and make sure they're going to be a success, not in high school, but in life.
Thank you.
Ms. Koop, I know you had some comments in regard to some of the environmental awards earlier.
Right. Oh, they left. No, I was going to, and I do want to recognize the Environmental Commission, and we are so happy they are here, and we appreciate them so much. They have really worked hard on this, getting the awards out and crafting, and Sharon, I guess, has left. And Mika, can your group just come in here and listen to this for just a second? Have they already left? Okay. But first of all, I do want to thank the Environmental Commission. I don't know if Tad is still here or not. But Sharon and Tad and the rest of the gang have really worked hard over the last year on the various things that they try to do environmentally for the city. And if you haven't been to one of their commission meetings, drop in on them in the morning sometime, because they really do a terrific job and they really want to help the city and they really need guidance. Sometimes they ask us for guidance and they're really willing to do whatever the city and the council wants them to do as far as the environment. So I appreciate and I applaud all of you for all your hard work, because nobody ever, it's very rare that we get to recognize you, so we're really pleased that you all could be here today. And then my group from Yasna Academy and Wave Ladies, this is a group of very intelligent women who put on, and Diane Benjamin from the Environmental Commission as well, put on an environmental fair at their school. And then they took the proceeds, and they ended up planting trees with the proceeds. So we double-dipped on that deal, and they are led by Mika. Raise your hand. Mika is a senior this year. and she's going to Stanford. So we're very, very proud of them. Do we have any other seniors? I couldn't remember. Oh, okay. I thought there were four. We're very proud of you girls, too, and all the things that you do. Today is just a great day to honor our high school students. And so we appreciate you. I'm glad you got to stay for just a little bit. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. One more time, I just want to say that recycling is a very important issue for the future of our city. I also want to thank the Commission for their great work. And, Mayor, recycling has such an interest right now, not only in the city of Dallas. I have been asked by the Turkish American Women Association to speak about recycling this coming Saturday, April the 11th, at the Turkish House in, located on 1416 East Collins, in Richardson, Texas, and I will be there. They want to know more about the City of Dallas, Mayor. They want to know about our recycling program. They want to know about the single stream. They want to know about once-a-week pickup, once-a-week recycling. And definitely, I'm honored to be with them this coming Saturday, and it's open to the public. So if everyone wants to join us, it's a very, very good group. Thank you, Mayor.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, we'll go to the speakers in just a moment. I know that we have a number of the taxi cabs drivers that are with us. So before we get in the speakers, I just want to take a moment to update on what is happening on that, because we appreciate you being with us on the 25th of March. City staff has been working with the DFW Airport, City of Fort Worth, and the North Central Texas Council of Governors for the past year to develop a regional approach to the regulation of taxi cabs and other for-hire transportation. We think this is especially critical given the importance of DFW and the joint ownership between DFW between the City of Fort Worth and the City of Dallas. This approach was briefed, so that you're aware, to the Transportation Environmental Committee, of which Ms. Koop heads that committee, last February 23rd. Now, the staff has briefed our regional partners to apprise them of the issues raised by the taxi cab drivers on the March 25th, and also discuss the potential to address these issues within the context of developing a more regional approach to the regulation of for-hire transportation services, again, in the entire region. Based on the direction that I gave, the staff is working with the taxi cab drivers and other affected stakeholders, too, to address all of the issues that were identified in that March 25th session of the council, of which you were present. Staff has begun already to meet with the driver representatives regarding their concern that city codes are not uniformly enforced for taxi cabs, limousines, and shuttles. I have asked Mr. Cadane, as the Vice Chairman of the Transportation Committee, to head up a committee that will look at these issues and work through them. A task force as part of that committee and adjacent to that committee and similar to that committee is going to be organized in the next 30 days. That will include representatives of taxi cab companies, taxi cab drivers, the Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Hotel Association Greater Dallas, both the City of Fort Worth and the City of Dallas, the DFW Airport, and, of course, the North Central Texas Council of Governments. In order to lay the groundwork for this effort, they are already going in and surveying the 20 largest cities in the U.S. to benchmark their standards against us here in this region, and also then second to gather relevant historical information regarding the 2002-2003 taxi cab consultant study. That was the one that also contained the information and the changes regarding insurance. That will also be part of that industry task force. Council's Transportation Environmental Committee, as I mentioned, the subcommittee will be headed by Mr. Cadane. He will lead that. Will be provide a report by the end of May, no later than the end of May, regarding the status of the review process and also preliminary findings. So hopefully that will give you an overview. We appreciate the comments that you made. I know there's several comments today that wasn't designed to preclude them. I just want you to know where we were, what we're doing, and the efforts that are going on. I think you'll find that those are responsive to the comments that were made on the 25th. With that, Madam Secretary, let me turn it to you for speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, Mayor and members of the Council. We have several speakers this morning to speak before you. Our first speaker is going to be Rich Sheridan. And while Mr. Sheridan is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending City Council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to the members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room as the sergeant-at-arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the Council. You have 3 minutes to speak. When you see the amber light, that means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. State your name and your address for the record, sir.
Yes, good morning. My name is Rich Sheridan. I live at 30224 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. That's District 13, Councilman Rudzanski's district. I appreciate being here. Change the title of the speech to thank you, Councilwoman Angela Hunt and Mayor Tom Leppert. I decided to change the speech this morning. It was originally going to focus on Easter and the contemporary aspect of Jesus' message in our troubled times. That speech is contained at the back of a handout, which the City Council now has. The gist of that speech is that if we follow God's laws, things go well, and when we don't, they won't. Today, we are all out of order. Business, government, and we, the people, are in a mess. The Bible's revelation tells us that the result of continued excessive corruption and being out of order, there will be a major fall of society. Are we on the brink of that fall? Dallas is in another mess, but the Trinity Project actually offers us a great opportunity to come together as never before. Does Dallas need, do we all need something very positive to think about and look forward to? The best Trinity River Project will be one that includes the Trinity Society of good government, good business, and good citizens. This handout contains what I feel is a new vision plan for the Tollway Highway and the Trinity Park. The new vision Trinity plan will create a world-class Trinity Park and a Tollway Highway that will be a marvel of engineering excellence. I believe that we are near a breakthrough with the Trinity Project primarily because of two people on the Dallas City Council, Councilwoman Angela Hunt and Mayor Tom Leppert. I wish to publicly thank Ms. Hunt, if she's here, ladies first, for her tenacity and passion in not accepting anything less than a true park, a park which will be a refuge from our frenetic city, which will serve the people of Dallas, the children of Dallas, for many generations to come. I want to thank Tom Leppert for sticking to the position that the best place for the Tollway Highway is within the Trinity River flood zone. Here, best meaning the one that would least disturb Dallas during construction, and one that would be the lowest cost. Mayor Leppert knows that there is an engineering solution to all problems. Both of these halves make a whole. I see a unique Stemmons bypass Trinity Tunnel tollway coming out of the current conflict, which will kill not two birds, but three birds with one stone. It will provide significantly greater flood protection. It will eliminate any environmental blight to the Trinity Park that the current design would do, and it will allow Dallas to reclaim some of the Trinity floodway. With the present design, the Trinity Park will flood 1 to 4 times per year, eliminating the construction of buildings and flood-sensitive facilities that go into building a great world-class park. The new vision design will allow the Trinity River Park to have venues like San Antonio's Riverwalk, New York Central Park, Denmark's Tivoli Park, and other world-class venues. Whatever added construction costs involved would be totally offset by the resulting economic benefits, hands down beating the net cost of any other alternative. The new vision plan was to significantly increase Dallas tourism revenue. 30 seconds or less.
10 seconds to summarize.
Some of the details of this new Trinity River Park and Tollway plan, which were much more balanced than the current plan, are contained in the handout. The heart of the new vision plan draws on New York City, London, Amsterdam, and the experience of every great city.
Testimony. We appreciate it very much.
We need two Trinities, the Trinity River, and good government, good business, and good people. God bless you. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
By the way, the final score, if the council played James Madison, would be 100-0. God bless.
Our next speaker is Tunde Abaze.
Good morning, honorable council members, Mayor Tom Leppert, Chanel Atkins, my brother, and I also have the opportunity to speak with Councilman Cadeni yesterday. Honorable, you give a good, absolute good name to the word honorable. In the last 20 years, I've been coming before this council. The only thing that I've changed in my struggle is being the faces behind the horseshoe. Again, I want to thank you for this opportunity. The reason I come here is I started coming here as the representative of the cab drivers. I am the founder of the Association of the United Taxi Cab Operator and also former chairperson. But since for the last 5 years I've been out of the business, but baffled that we are back doing the same thing after 20 years. I know the council mean well, but others are taking advantage of the good intention of the council and the cab drivers to exploit the drivers. I'm here to talk about the taxi cab drivers issues, talking about code enforcement. But before I go, I want to thank the mayor for the steps that have been taken so far that we just heard this morning. You basically just took half of my speech away, and I appreciate that. And I will expect the expedience, because the conditions of the cab driver is so critical in this time that they can't wait for the slow arms of bureaucracy. There are issues that can be handled right away, and I am sure with the promise of Linda Koop and Council Member Cardeni yesterday that things will be done to resolve the ones that can be resolved. For example, code enforcement. The code that governs ground transportation is written. While some is not fair, but while there's a heavy hand and a heavy enforcement on cab drivers, the limos and shuttles are running rampant, basically performing duties that are not theirs, violating every rule, queuing up in front of hotels, and shuttles queuing up, picking up fare while cab drivers are waiting for hours and hours. And most of the time when they call for law enforcement, the cab drivers end up getting punished for one reason or the other. And I will say this, that if nothing else, which again we got the promise yesterday, enforcement of the code by the city of Dallas is a must, and we must, because that's difficult. Going for the moratorium that was imposed on the drivers in 2003 is strangling the cab drivers, creating an unfair advantage to the major cab company, and immediately due to the financial condition and the economic condition will help the small companies to grow. And I have to say this, the cab drivers are not employees of the company. These are the largest group of independent businessmen there is. If you don't mind, if I can have just about a minute.
Now, take about 10 seconds to summarize. I have to be consistent with everybody. So take about 10 seconds to summarize, because I know there's another speaker, too, that wants to touch on this.
A minute, please.
Take 30 seconds, but let's go ahead and move on.
Thank you. The independent task force that you have actually indicated that we that's put together, I will say, I beg you that we put them together so that we can, and also have a subpoena power to request for all records that need be to actually thoroughly investigate the crime and the inappropriate behavior of some of the cab companies actually deceiving the council to gain advantage over the independent minority cab drivers. So I know you mean well, and I count on this council to do the right thing. I thank you very much.
I want to go to our next speaker, but I think it's important, as I mentioned last time, again, the city can address a number of the issues that you raised. We are not the element or the entity that addresses the antitrust, and likewise, I just want to set it straight, we don't have subpoena powers in the same way that you would think and hear about it at Congress or a grand jury or that sort of thing. So again, I just want to make sure our expectations are right. We don't have those same powers that perhaps you're referring to of other governmental entities. Now, Secretary.
Our third speaker is Gabichu Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council members. It's a great honor to have such opportunity to speak out our problems. In fact, on our last meeting, we have tried to address the main issues, but I would like to highlight on the age limit of taxes. If you take the top 50 cities of USA, 44% of them with no age limit. This includes New York, Los Angeles, and Atlanta. 28% of them has 10 years age limit. This includes also city like Boston. 20% of them are there, again, is 7 years of age limit, cities like Washington included in here. At last, 8% tax, 5 years age limit. Most of the cities are here in Texas, which include Dallas. All cities have one concerning common, which is safety policy. In order to protect this policy, it is mandatory for vehicles to pass an inspection. It includes, it could be a vital indicator that it is maintenance and inspection of the vehicles that determine the safety and the quality of vehicles, not the age limit. As you are well aware, the cab service industry has interwoven nature with the tourism industry and business travelers, community movement within the city. However, the current economical recession directly or indirectly has affected the movement and has resulted the cab operators' income to decline. Further, because of age limits, the book value of the vehicles will diminish at the end of each 5 years. We believe those major factors could exhibit the policy we have in Dallas is not economical and business oriented. In line of those, therefore, considering the recession in the country, the highest cost of the fuel and depressed economy that translates into cancellation of convention conference, it is proper and necessary to review.
Just 30 seconds.
Okay. To review and to increase the taxi age limit. Otherwise, the result could be a lot of jobs. A lot of jobs. Like our company, 37% of my drivers or independent drivers will lose their job by the end of this year, or 34% at the end of 2010. We hope and we are sure this council doesn't allow this to happen.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor,
I think there's a couple of comments. Mr.
Okay.
Atkins and Mr. Cadet, please.
Mr. Begez, I guess. Thank you, Mayor. The last time we was here, Ramon, we were talking about the issues of 2003, you know, when we first started the process. And I know some people here who probably were not here the last time when you gave an overview of what's going on in the process, what happened. I just want to be clear for me and for the colleagues who were not on council in 2003, what did we do, why we did it, and what was the timeline and amount to do it, and the reason why. Can someone just kind of walk us through the timeline from 2003 up until today?
In 2003, Mr. Atkins, as was indicated, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, we did go through a rather extensive process. I believe that process lasted about a year in reviewing a number of policy issues related to taxi regulation. I personally wasn't involved, but John Brock, Assistant Director of Public Works, was, and I think he is in a good position to give you that background.
Thank you, John. Just to kind of give you a nutshell, I guess, description of it. There was a consultant study that was performed, I believe, in 2002 that made some recommendations for improving cab service, and as a result of that, the Transportation Committee at that time asked staff to form a task force and review that report and look at a number of issues. So we did, as Mr. McGuire said, we spent about a year. The task force included each of the companies had a representative and their representatives of the drivers, as well as the hospitality industry. And we did meet for about a year. We looked at a number of issues. One of the main findings of that, or the outcomes of that, was a limitation on the number of cabs that would be allowed to be permitted in Dallas, and that was the formula we discussed on the 25th. And that came about because at the time there was a consensus that there were too many cabs operating in Dallas, so we took steps to reduce them.
And that was one of the key outcomes. There were also some other minor things related to driver training. We enhanced the driver training program and things of that nature. But that was the limitation on the number of cabs was the key finding. Well, the age limit wasn't actually reviewed as a part of that process. The age limit had last been reviewed in 2001 when it was extended as a result of 9/11 for 1 year. And the council at that time reaffirmed the 5-year limit but allowed one extra year because of the economic impact at that time. And then it went back to 5 years. So since the council had just acted on that about a year and a half before we started our effort, as I recall, that particular issue wasn't a part of our task force discussions at that time.
You know, again, colleague, you know, we always talk about task force, and when we do a task force, it's a waste of time. I do not think a task force is a waste of time because we're talking about a task force, again, about something we're trying to result to draw a conclusion in. If you do not have a task force, how would you know what's going on in the future? You got to look back at the past to learn what's going on in the future. And that's what we're trying to do today with this task force that we're putting together. We talk about 9/11, and if we did not have a task force in place then, we would not give the cab drivers another year extension because we realized during 9/11 there was a crisis that happened. And once we did realize that, we gave them a 1 year extension. What I'm asking this task force to do is look back, not at 9/11, but learn from the past and say, did the price of fuel go up? Are we in a recession that with these elements, these things happened back in the past, should give these drivers, these companies, another additional time on their cab? That's what I'm asking today for this task force to do. Jessica Dane and I, and also Linda Koo, we met with the drivers Tuesday, and we discussed those issues. There are certain issues that got to go in the task force to find out what's going on. There are issues between DFW, which is a separate deal, and also with the city of Dallas. The issue with insurance, I believe that's something we can talk about in the process, make sure that it gets accomplished. The years on the cab, there's another issue. But also, Mara and the colleagues, that we also looking at that we are trying to rebound the city of Dallas. We got to look at that downtown. And by looking at the downtown, we are saying that, hey, we got a convention center. And we don't need those cab drivers to drive. We got to make sure everyone is safe to come to the city of Dallas. We are in a process now is looking at these people. These are people who have jobs in the city of Dallas, a small business, who have opportunity to have a good quality of life. And they come to this council for one reason, and the reason that do they have due justice? Do we have a fair city of Dallas where they can earn their living in? But we also got to realize that the city of Dallas have to maintain the standard of the county. But also we have a responsibility to our visitors who come here to make sure they are comfortable and safe with the insurance process also. We are going to look at other cities and see what other cities are doing. That's something we should have did. 2003, 2009, 6 years later, I think it was too long. We should have looked at it every 2 years. So I'm asking this task force, Chef, also, Chef, is that look at it every year or every 2 years, but then to come back. But we're also asking them for those independent drivers to be part of the task force so they can talk about it. We also have some cars be part of the task force so to give their input. There are other issues that involve, and I believe that Shepherd can address those issues. But one thing I want to make point, the hotel issues. I am very, very deeply concerned that we have a situation with limo, shuttle, and cab. We must get with our hotel association and find out, is there a problem? Is they getting treated fairly or are they not getting treated fairly? That's something the city needs to do. Our inspectors who inspect the cows, or how it's managed there. someone need to come back to us as soon as possible, and I'll ask y'all to come back with us in the next 30 days to find out if that's true or not true. The other issue is a legal issue. And Mr. Perkins, will you please come forward?
Yes, sir.
There are, correct me if I'm wrong, there are maybe one or two issues that when they came forward a couple weeks ago, we talked about a monopoly, and that is a bad word in the United States language. I would like to dissect that, put that to the side.
Right.
If there's something to do with that, I need for you to handle that on a sidebar.
Right.
Legal, because we at the council should not get into that debate about accusation.
All right.
Let legal take care of that. Do you see anything else that needs to be put in that toolbox?
Well, what we're prepared to do is staff the task force so that any issues that come up, either I will be there or I will have a lawyer who is assigned to that, so that we will work with the task force and any legal issues that need to be addressed as we go through this process. We will make sure that we are a party to that process.
The city attorney's office, the city manager's office will not be part of the task force, but both of them will have representatives to staff the task force.
Yes.
Great. Second question, Mary, since you're on the DFW board, how do we dissect that issue with the city and DFW board? Would that task force have authority to meet with DFW board, with the city of Dallas? How are we going to make that transition? It's going to be separate.
I think on the front end of it, interact with the staff at DFW to understand exactly what they're doing. As I mentioned last time, I think there's some real issues in terms of the certification given the ownership of Dallas and Fort Worth, and DFW may very well go to a certification that says unless you're certified in either Fort Worth or Dallas, that you can't do it. But that's something that's being discussed. I think the first step will be to interact with the staff. Then the board will largely be counsel the board when a set of policy recommendations have come up. And clearly we and our representatives to the DFW board will work through that, and I'm sure they will represent the city of Dallas' interests on that.
Okay.
Second question, last question is number one, colleagues, again, I believe that anytime a new set of council comes to the city hall when we change the guard, that we should be updated on certain events, especially this 2003, the campground. This is something that is going to make this city a double city, because when businesses come here, the first thing they get into is a cab. And you are the front runner for the city of Dallas. If that business comes to DFW, comes to downtown Dallas, if they go the wrong route, they had a hard time to get to their destination, 9 out of 10, that business is not going to come. So I encourage all of y'all to say you are a part of the city, and the city is part of you. And by doing that, the city of Dallas will be a better city. Shepherd, it's on you, Shepherd, and the task force, but I feel like we should get back at least in 30 days to update. Remember, the first task force took 1 year. So hopefully it will not take another year, but we need to be engaged and make sure all the colleagues is in the loop. Thank you very much.
Mr. Cadet, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Atkins, I think we'll do more in just update 30 days. Hopefully we're going to come with some demographics on the task force and those things and where we'll be heading from there. I'd like to thank the cab companies for being here today, and I do look forward to working with each and every one of you. And we had a very good meeting, I think, yesterday, and Mr. Brunk was there and Mr. Perkins was there, and we are going to move forward with this. And I did, and Mr. Obazi said I made some promises, and I think the mayor kind of cringed. Uh-oh, what he promised. But the promises were that we would move forward quickly and that we would try to come back with a task force that we could agree upon, and that we would look at each and every one of the disagreements and see where we can work with them and where we really, our hands are tied on. And I think the meeting was done. We had a good meeting. I think everybody was happy with the results. And we will move forward from there. And speaking about DFW, Mayor, we did talk about COG maybe doing a regional situation, and which we're not all sure about that yet. But we are going to discuss it, and there, our cab drivers are open to that discussion. So we're going to kind of look at that. We'll talk with them before we meet again, and maybe even have someone in there.
And again, a part of the COG in front is just having part of the conversation.
Exactly. So thank you guys for being here, and I think we're going to move forward with this, and I think we're getting some things done. Thank you for being down here and bringing it to our attention. Thank my staff also.
Thank you, Mr. Gooding. Ms. Davis, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Lepa. Mayor Lepa, what is the outcome when Sheffy meet with the cab companies? What are you looking for the outcome?
I think the outcome will be a package of proposals that will be considered by this council to address the issues. Now, again, a number of issues were addressed. That task force and the group and the subcommittee that Mr. Cadena is heading may very well say, give an issue that's appropriate as it is and no change. In other cases, they may say it is appropriate to go with the type of recommendations that were put forth on March 20th.
What are some of those issues? When they came here the last time?
I think Mr. Atkins touched on those. Clearly, the insurance was one.
Okay.
The age of the cabs was another. I mean, there was four or five concrete issues that were going down. I think that's the starting point. As I said, I think it's also incumbent upon us to ask the questions of interaction with DFW, given our ownership there. I think it's also important that we look at environmental issues. Should we move towards some type of a special incentive for CNG, alternative fuel cabs, those sorts of things? So I think if we're going to do it, we ought to put all of those pieces into the equation. But I think we start with the issues that were identified on March 25th.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rodansky, please.
Mayor, thank you. I appreciate all of you coming down here, and I want to backtrack to 5 or 6 years ago when the prior city council enacted this ordinance. Whenever you do an ordinance, you will find there needs to be upgrades in it. This was very well vented out. I wish Mr. Atkins was in here. There were comparisons to other cities, Ramon, you remember that?
Yes, sir, there were.
Big comparisons per thousand, insurance regulations. All these were brought up to the city council at that time, Sheffy, all of these things. I would make a suggestion, Ramon, that we pull the minutes from those meetings. It might take a little while, and it might take a little paperwork, but I think they ought to take a look at what transpired. I know we looked at that because we had a tremendous amount of complaints about the condition of the cabs, no insurance, and really what started this, if I remember right, there were a couple of serious accidents where the drivers did not have insurance. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir, that's my recollection.
Yeah, that's really what started this. Dallas deserves cabs that are safe, insured, continually to be inspected. And I would like to see that continued out of the task force. Comfortable, safe, insured, periodic inspection. That's a must. And that's what we asked for at that time. Do we have these inspections, Ramon?
Yes, sir. Twice a year.
Twice a year. What percentage, I'd also like you to tell the task force, what percentage of cabs that are registered actually are inspected? Would you?
I mean, if you operate in Dallas, I can't guarantee you, Mr. Zaski, that we catch every one of them, but in order to have a license to operate in Dallas, you have to have your cap.
And is there a sticker that goes on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all the cabs have a monthly sticker, so if for some reason once due for inspection haven't, we hold the sticker until they come in.
I would like you to tell that task force to take a good look, and Ramon, you're very good at this, see if those stickers can be replicated. I just don't want to see any fake stickers on there where we're talking about people riding in the cabs. So I'm glad to see this task force take another look at it, but I think let them see what the prior city council got out of it. Maybe we can upgrade it. But I do not think we need to lower ourselves on the safety of the cab, the insurance requirements, the inspections, and the age. Thank you so much. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'll also point out, Mr. Zansky, that quality has two dimensions. It's the quality of the cab, but also the quality of the service.
I thought, you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%, and the quality of the cab.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. We got one more speaker. You're going to have to give me about 10 minutes or so. I'll get you to go through it.
Mayor, can I speak?
You said quality. I wanted to make sure it was understood that it was taxi up in the street.
Mr. Mayor, council members, we're going to move Billy McLeod up as our fourth speaker. He was in error placed as on addendum item 4, but he requested to see a morning speaker. Billy McLeod. And then our final speaker is going to be Bonnie Horn. Our final speaker will be Bonnie Horn.
My name is Billy McLeod. I reside at 1800 Lear in District 2. Over the past years, I've come before this council many times to fight for Dallas residents over a whole range of issues. But today I'll come to you on behalf of small business owners and visitors to this city. Hundreds of small business owners that feel like they've been left out on a limb, like they've been betrayed, like you are not fighting for their interests. This city council needs to show bold leadership in the last weeks of its term. No longer can this council take the easy road. No longer can this council take the easy money from political action committees and special interests and ignore monopolistic competition and simply hide behind the veil of blaming someone else for your lack of forethought and common sense. Make no mistake, I am not here today on behalf of Billy McLeod. I am here today on behalf of the small business owners that you regulate and you govern and you are going to legislate today. Today you have before you a number of different issues. As you can see, if I could ask my friends behind me, how many of the people in this audience are small business owners? There's a number of small business owners that weren't given the notice of this meeting. They weren't told that you guys were going to extend or not extend the adherence to your passage of the smoking ban without proper infrastructure in place. Let's take a great example. Lower Greenville Avenue, 3-foot wide sidewalk, 30 bars in a row, and your ordinance states that someone's got to be 15 feet away from a door in order to smoke. Lower Greenville already has major crime problems, major issues of conflicts between residents, and you're going to stick them on a 3-foot wide sidewalk, 3,000 people, this weekend. There is not the infrastructure in place to go forward with your smoking ban. This is not a public health issue. This is a governance issue, and it's a common sense issue. I ask you to show bold leadership today and give these people the proper opportunity to become compliant. Without that, you're going to be throwing hundreds of bar owners into non-compliance, thousands of your residents into criminal status, and these bar owners and restaurant owners and these residents are not a parking meter. They are not a source of revenue for the city. Also, very soon you'll be voting on a daytime curfew. Once again, lack of planning, lack of forethought. lack of leadership. These children are not a parking meter, and neither are their families. Today, I ask you to show bold leadership and to have courage to show common sense and not make all these small business owners and residents a parking meter. This is not a generation of revenue issue. This is a public safety issue. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate your service
to
the city. As always, I'm very proud of you.
Our last speaker, Mr. Mayor, is Bonnie Horn. Bonnie Horn is the last speaker.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to clarify something because I heard a comment about Lower Greenville, and because Councilmember Medrano and I share Lower Greenville, I want to be sure that we all understand the accuracy or inaccuracy of what's been stated today. I heard that the bars on Lower Greenville or the residents on Lower Greenville are going to suffer because all of those bars, those 30 bars on Lower Greenville, are going to have smokers rushing out of them, and they're going to have to actually go outside. I want to make a very clear point here. We don't have bars on Lower Greenville. We only have restaurants because the bars won't take the time to follow the law and actually get their bar permits. So they get restaurant permits to circumvent the public meetings that are required for a bar permit. And because they do that, because they want to pretend that they're restaurants, they're not allowed to smoke in there anyway. So all those 30 bars, no, we don't have bars, we have restaurants. And they have to be outside anyway under our cordon ordinance. So I just want us all to be very clear. We have problems on Lower Greenville, but the fact that we're going to have people standing outside smoking is not one of them. It is the least of our issues down there. And the fact is our major problem is that we have bars masquerading as restaurants. So I just want us all to be on the same page with that one. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Carroway, please.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. Let me just say, and Ms. Hunt, I appreciate you saying what you said, because that same circumvention of the law that they pretend to be a restaurant and the restaurant's wanting to be a club is something that we need to make sure that we continue to review. The only thing I want to say about this, I'll deal with the smoking when it's time to deal with that. But a comment was made about the kids and the daytime curfew. We understand that the kids are not parking meters, but we also have a responsibility to make sure that our jails are not filled with kids who should be in school. Now, for anybody to think that we're going to turn our back, close our eyes, and not help children understand that they ought to be in school instead of roaming the streets, just like these kids that we celebrated here this morning with James Madison. They're there for an education, and that's how you develop champions, is through education. It would be a travesty as a council person to realize and see the detrimental effect and the long-term effect that a kid who should be in school get a blemish on his record for the rest of his life because certain entities and certain parents do not step up to the plate and to help direct in a positive manner, caring, loving about where those kids are in the daytime. As a city council person, I'm going to step up to the plate. You're going to see a daytime curfew. That's what you're going to see. That's my opinion, and that's where I'm coming from. It is not trying to govern a kid. It is not trying to treat a kid like a parking meter. It is for the security and the longevity of that kid's life
so that he can grow up and become a productive citizen and not somebody locked up over in loose territory. Sometimes you got to make a hard call, and this is a hard call. And I resent the fact when somebody come down here challenging the fact that we should not be doing something about kids in the daytime. No, what you should do is come down here and join us in some of these strategy sessions so that you can be a part of the solution and not just bumping your gum when you come down here when we're trying to make a better quality of life for kids and the kids coming in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Madam Secretary?
Mr. Mayor, our final speaker is Blanny Horn.
I had a packet. Can I get this?
You need those grants, though.
Mayor, council members, thank you. Mr. Caraway, thank you. I appreciate your comments. Today I'm here to make an appeal to you to consider significant evidence that demonstrates a large population of students that will be negatively impacted by a daytime curfew. I am not here to condone truancy or teenage troublemakers. Many of you are passionate about the youth living in your districts, and rightly so. I agree that juvenile crime is a serious issue. However, daytime curfews are not the answer. While it is certainly necessary to discuss other possible solutions, Mr. Caraway, these are complex issues which require much study and work to address. Today I'm here to discuss the issue at hand, daytime curfews and why they are not acceptable to the community. I am here to encourage the council to base your ruling on sound constitutional principles and factual evidence and avoid a decision based on pragmatism and anecdotes to the exclusion of sound principles. Our group has confirmed the school year calendars for 72 private schools in your district, 7 ISD school districts in other cities, and a handful of charter schools that don't share a common calendar with DISD, yet share Dallas city limits or serve Dallas citizens. Looking at private schools alone, over 23,000 students share only 49 school days when all schools are in session with Dallas ISD. 131 days a year, hundreds of private school students are out in the public. Daytime curfews violate constitutional rights. Although there is no absolute right, fundamental rights cannot be interfered with unless the government can demonstrate compelling interests and are using the least restrictive alternatives. Nor can government enforce laws that violate the state and or U.S. Constitution. Government must prohibit crime. However, government is obligated to use the least intrusive method. Daytime curfews are the most intrusive. Less restrictive measures, laws presently on the books, are available to all law enforcement officers. Stricter enforcement of those laws will eliminate the need for daytime curfews. According to Dallas PD's own research and the 2007 FBI preliminary crime report, Dallas reported 22,472 burglaries, of which 283 were committed by minors during the school hours. Rape, a total of 511. 7 were committed by minors during school hours. All Part 1 offenses, 63,668, 292 committed by minors during the school hours. Under this ordinance, thousands of innocent kids will suffer unwarranted stops, detentions, harassment, and fines. Business owners will face daily threats of large fines. They're going to fine you guys, $500 for each student, standing in your business. And law enforcement are going to become truancy agents. Taxpayers, you'll be strapped with the added cost of enforcing a curfew that is effective only 49 days of the year. Daytime curfews are unconstitutional and effective, therefore I urge the council to vote no on a daytime curfew ordinance in Dallas. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Mr. Zancy.
Thank you so much. Ms. Horn. Good morning.
Good morning.
What did you hand out here?
This is a calendar that demonstrates...
No, the schools at the front. Why did you...
That's the index. Oh. So when you look at the calendar and you see a number, it refers to that index.
Ms. Horn, I empathize with you. I understand. Believe me, I understand. This is... You're wrong. This is what the taxpayers want in Dallas. The stats that you gave us, those are the individuals who were caught. You have no idea how many emails that I get a day about teenagers in cars breaking in garages. They see them. By the time they get out, they're going down the alley. This has got to be stopped. These kids belong in school. They absolutely belong in school. And I'm getting a tremendous amount for the past 2 years. This should have been started a year ago. So I feel, in fact, I know the taxpayers want safe neighborhoods. And this is just another step into reducing crime in the school where they belong. They belong in school. Period. Etched in stone. I can't wait till this starts. I'm getting some calls, but as long I'm calling these people back individually, tell them that they have to have an excused absence. You don't want your children on the streets. You want to know where they are. And after I've talked to each parent that has called me, two yesterday, he said, well, I understand. I didn't know that. So, you know, if an officer stops them, they have where they're going to take. Mrs. Horn, in due respect, you're smiling. We don't think it's very funny. These crimes are being committed here by these teenagers who are not in school. I appreciate you coming down, but I cannot wait until this ordinance goes into effect. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you. Dr. Garcia, please.
Well, I think Mr. Calloway and Mr. Rosensky, you know, hit it very well. This is a tool in the toolbox, and thank you, Ms. Horn, for your input. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here and tell us what you believe this ordinance will do. Probably in Forney, where you live, is not an issue, but in the city of Dallas, it's a big issue. And when the police department comes to the public safety committee and says, we have to do something about this before it gets out of hand, prevention is better than treatment. So I will definitely be supporting this ordinance. The fines that you mentioned are determined by a judge. The maximum is 500, not over 500. And we are also going to have some pilot programs for kids to learn if they are suspended from school, so they won't be in the streets. And I don't want to get into this right now. I'll wait until we go into the public hearing for this issue. But again, the city of Dallas is not looking at making money on this issue. It's not unconstitutional. It's been ordinances like this are already functioning in other cities, over 20 cities in the state of Texas. But just to clarify the record, I look forward to see you in the public hearing on the 22nd of this month. Thank you.
Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor Leppert. You know, I just want to commend Dr. Garcia and Ms. Carraway on the Flood Safety Committee. You know, at our last city council meeting, my colleague Ms. Hunt had mentioned that you have grown individuals that need some type of curfew because they're standing out on these corners, they're hanging out, and we somehow need to look at this nuisance law. It is extremely sad that we got grown people. They hang out 24 hours in front of stores. They hang out in front of car washes, and especially in my district, they hang out all day long and doing absolutely nothing. And so when kids see them doing this, then I think it's okay for them to do it. I do believe we need to have some type of curfew in place. And we're only talking from 9 to 2. That's not all day. And so I think it's critical, even in my district, I think it will help, but we also somehow need to look at this nuisance law, and we also just need to get tough. We gotta get tough on some issues. And I think 4 hours or 3 hours is not asking a lot, for our kids to be in school. Thank you, Mayor Leppert.
Thank you. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Horn, thank you for being with us today. Help me decipher this, because this looks interesting. This is the listing of schools that you surveyed, the 107, and this denotes starts and stop dates, or in session or out of session?
Out of session.
Out of session.
If you see a number on a date.
So if it says number 13 noon on the 5th of November, that means they're out of session.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. I'll digest this. This is good information. And I'm going to pass this to staff in order for them to digest it, because As Dr. Garcia said, we are going to have a public hearing on the 22nd,
yes,
and we welcome citizen feedback. And I'm listening very carefully to my citizens in my district and to hear what they're saying. But I will tell you, it's pretty compelling the amount of juvenile crime that we're experiencing, not only in my district but in the city, that's tied back, whether it be burglary to motor vehicles or residential burglaries. And to hear the police department connect the dots as it relates to the offender and the incident, I'm listening carefully as to why we shouldn't do this, because I'm predisposed for it, because I'm trying to provide the tools to reduce that crime rate. So I'm listening listening to my constituents and listening to information like this between now and the 22nd of April, and I appreciate your advocacy. But we are trying. Last year we achieved a 10% reduction in crime. We need to keep that going, and we need to work with DISD and Duncanville schools, in my district I have two different school districts, to make sure that we keep the kids in school, not in the neighborhood during the day where they should be. But thank you.
Thank you.
Mary, who within the staff should get this? Who's the appropriate person? Chief Cato? Okay, Ryan. Okay, thank you. Because I'd like the staff to look at this, to draw any conclusions from a professional staff standpoint, so that by the time we get to the public hearing, we can see whether the ordinance does need to be altered or not in order to minimize any infringement.
Ordinance or the policies and procedures within the police department
to
identify particular schools, narrow it down to a particular beat, and make sure that the officers that are in that beat have the pertinent information.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Cadena, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Horn, for coming down. And I'm glad we'll have a public hearing on this where we can bring everything up front. One of my concerns is that DISD is not doing enough. Our truancy laws are in effect. They're not that much different from what we're wanting to do. So why aren't we enforcing them? I kind of go along with what you're saying there. As Mr. Rozanski is getting calls that they want this currency, I'm getting calls on the other side that this isn't right. And so I'm going to be looking at it very closely. And I feel like that we can do some things with our current laws, and we don't have to be adding laws upon laws. Today, a policeman can stop a child and ask them why they're not in school. We don't have to have the currency to do that. So I need to find out where DISD is on this and why we're not getting more help there. So we'll see in the future, and I'm also looking forward to the 22nd to see what happens. And thank you for coming down today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kane. Ms. Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I agree with Mr. Cadena's points. And I just wanted to clarify, I'm not supportive of an adult curfew.
Thank you.
I think someone said that. I think last time we had this discussion, I mentioned that satirically to point out that I think we create a slippery slope when we start profiling people who may commit crimes. And this idea that we want to even consider or think about an adult curfew in Dallas makes me wonder if I'm living in the United States. It's extremely troubling to me. To the point that some folks see teenagers committing crimes and call the police and the police get there too late to arrest them, this law won't change that. This law does not put jetpacks on our police to get them to a crime scene faster. I do, however, understand the impetus for this. And I agree with Mr. Cadena. I understand the need to address the truancy problem as it relates to teenagers who would commit crimes. I understand that. And so, but I agree with Mr. Cadena on the point that I would hope that we could engage more with DISD on this particular issue, so that I would much rather turn over this issue to them and engage with them to figure out how they can resolve this. Because your points were well taken, and I thank you for this very thoughtful packet that you gave us, and just so that our I think you explained what it is, but I just want those who are viewing it to understand. What you did is you created a list of all the schools within the city of Dallas.
Alan,
and we have about 107 different schools, and you then created a calendar that shows when each of those schools starts, when they have holidays, when they have spring break, when they're beginning school and ending school. And I think your point with this is to show it's going to be challenging to enforce this law because there are so many different dates that children are legally out of school. So I think it's challenging. Again, I do understand the purpose of this and the reasoning behind it and the desire to address juvenile crime. I really would love to sit down and work to figure out a way if we can all get what we want here, but do it in a way that that doesn't create a teen curfew. So I hope that we can reach a compromise that gets us all, I think we're all singing the same song. It's just how do we get there? And I don't want to get there in a way that, in my opinion, is a slippery slope. And we're already talking about adult curfew. Mm-hmm. Extremely concerning to me. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tiffany, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'll join my colleague, Ms. Hunt, and not be in favor. I'll go on the record, not be in favor of an adult curfew. I think we probably have a unanimous vote on that. Ms. Horn, I did receive an email from you, and I've received other communications from people that have concerns about the potential of having this curfew go into effect in daytime hours. My position is kids need to be in school, whatever kind of school that is, be it DISD, be it another public school. My district comprises four school districts. I've got Plano Independent School District, Richardson Independent School District, Dallas Independent School District, and Carrollton Farmers Branch. So I'm very familiar with the issue of certain schools have holidays, certain don't, certain have get out different times. And I live with that all the time. I don't care what school they go to, whether it be a home school, a private school, or a public school, they need to be in school when they're supposed to be there. The question is, when are they supposed to be there? And that's where the enforcement issue comes in my mind. The issue of the connection between the kids who are not in school and our truant and crime is an issue that we need to deal with. In my mind, as Mr. Cadane said, I think a big part of this lies on DISD's shoulders. When you look at the map of where the kids are picked up currently under current state law of being truant, and you see where they are, that's where we need to place our enforcement, because those are the kids that are not going to school. I have been working with staff, and I think that we do need to, if we are going to put this in place, and I think they need to be in whatever school they're going to, but we need to deal with the fact that we're not having innocent kids picked up just because they have a school holiday and the officer may or may not be aware of it for some reason. There are many, many places in Dallas that are totally DISD regulated, and all the kids go to DISD, at least the public school part of it. But private schools are another issue. In the packets that you have, it's a complex problem. So we've got a little time, hopefully, between now and the next public hearing, and I would encourage my colleagues that if we do not have a solution at that time, but we see that there's something that can be done, that we not rush to a decision just because we've put these dates out there on the map. I mean, I'm in favor of doing something that makes sure that the kids that are supposed to be in their respective school, whether it's home, private, or public, are there. Because if they don't get an education, they're going to be a liability on society and the city in years to come. So I appreciate you coming down here. Thank you.
Ms. Newman?
Very briefly, this is a question to Mary or to Ryan. Number one, has the city staff reached out to Dallas Independent School District to ask to let them know that we're having a public hearing on the 22nd?
Yes,
in several different ways, ranging from
number
the
one.
Board.
Number two, are they sending a representative? Do we know?
We know what they're going to do.
I'm sorry, I can't hear. Mayor?
They have committed to do that. They are
sending a representative. Number three, has the board taken a public position?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
So the DIC board has not taken public position one or the other. And last but not least, because one of the frustrations we as a council had a couple weeks ago on this discussion was that no one from DIC was here. So we don't want to repeat that. And last but not least, Mary, has the police department or the manager's office done any sort of analysis as it relates to the resource requirement in order to enforce either what's proposed in the ordinance or adjustments to that? Because that question is going to come.
Yes, Mr. Newman, we already enforce the truancy laws, which means we're already picking up the kids and taking them back to school. This is another layer of enforcement on top of that, which should require exactly the same amount of enforcement we have now.
So the manager's office or the police department has already made the determination this would require additional resources or would not require any additional resources?
This is the same resources we currently have.
So it would require no additional resources?
That's correct, sir.
And it would not require any diversion of patrol from our neighborhoods?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you that question again when it's the public hearing.
I just want to remind you.
I'm just trying to make sure we're thinking about these issues ahead of time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mayor.
Again, we're responding to the speaker. This is going to be on the agenda as the second public hearing. So to the extent we can, let's try to keep our comments very brief and really focus on that public hearing coming up. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor Lippert. Ryan, can you come back? I have a question I want to ask you. There were some problems going on at one of my high schools in the district, and it was at Lincoln High School. I had Mr. Carraway to come out since he's the Vice Chair of Public Safety. Now, when the kids leave the campus, is it in the city's hand or is it in DISD hand? Because what the police officer told me, meaning DISD officers, is once they leave the campus, it is no longer their issue.
Ms. Davis, actually, we have a very good working relationship with the DISD patrol,
mm-hmm.
and we jointly handle those things.
Mm-hmm.
When there are situations outside our schools, mm-hmm. generally the whatever patrol division they're in works with DISD to handle those situations jointly.
I'm afraid I've got to jump in, and the city attorney is on my back for good reason. We're going way off of responding to the speaker, which is technically what we can do. We're almost going on to an item that's not posted now, so
okay.
From a legal standpoint.
So this is coming on up on what date, Mayor Lippert?
It's coming on in 2 weeks.
Maybe
22nd. Okay, I will hold my questions until then.
I understand it's an important issue, but
right.
we're getting way off from not being a posted item.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Ms. Carraway, do you still want to go? Or?
Yeah, just very short, and I'll do the same, but I want to invite and suggest that we all take a tour as we move forward toward the next public hearing. And let's go over to the truancy court, Judge Thomas Jones Court. And then let's take a look at where there is not any standing room at all. And a building, not just a courtroom, but a building full of kids that are standing by for truancy court. I want to give deference to Ms. Hill to say that she has, I've been the one very outspoken about the ISD, and Ms. Hill has assured, and I believe and know that she's working extremely in sync with the ISD to make sure that we all come together. But I want us to take that tour. And once you see a room and a building full of kids that have skipped school and are standing by for trial, then you'll see what the problem is.
Thank you. Dr. Garcia, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And as we move forward from the first public hearing, I would like for everyone to know that my office is open for solutions. Okay? Don't tell me it cannot be done. Don't tell me what the problems are, because I think the problem, everybody at this horseshoe, everybody resident of the city of Dallas knows it. My office is open for solutions. Tell me how to do it, how to implement it in a way that people will not feel profiled, that people that will not have arguments against it. tell me how we do it. And I want to commend Judge Hill and everybody in the Public Safety Committee who has been proactive finding the solutions, because that's what all this is going to be about. And I expect to have all my colleagues' comments that will be proactive in finding those solutions. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Hutt, please.
Dr. Garcia, I think that's a fair point. And here's one thing I would suggest, and I'll take you up on your offer to discuss this. It would make more sense to me if we put this issue in DISD's hands. So that if
we're back to really,
Mr. Mayor,
discussing,
you didn't interrupt
point.
Dr. Garcia when she was speaking, so I'd appreciate it if I could finish my comment. What I would suggest is we allow DISD to handle this issue, and that they, and I understand Judge Hill's point, which is a good one, a fine makes a big difference. Have DISD charge the fine. So that's my suggestion. On the point, and Mr. Mayor, I'll take this answer outside, but I do want to pose this question because I think Mr. Newman raised a good question about time that the city would have to be involved in this issue. You know, how much staff time? Would there be more staff time? I want to clarify and understand from Mr. Evans if there would be additional police time involved in testifying if this were to come to a trial. I want to get that. He doesn't have to answer it now, Mr. Mayor. He can answer that offline.
That completes our morning speakers. The first item is the minutes. Those have been distributed. May I have a motion, please?
Sure.
Move for approval. It's been seconded by Ms. Coop. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Our consent agenda, there's a number of items that were requested to be considered individually. The following items will be considered individually. Number 17, Mr. Rosansky has requested that be considered individually. Number 23, Mr. Natinsky. Number 28, Mr. Newman. And then over on the addendum, number three, Mr. Rosansky. So the ones that will be considered individually will be number 17, number 23, number 28, and addendum 3. The first item that we'll take up after I have a motion on the consent will be addendum item number four. I will have a motion for deferral on that from Mr. Atkins. Therefore, we will do that before any other items. Can I have a motion for approval?
For approval.
Mr. Rosansky's approved it. Ms. Coop seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, if you'll read in addendum item number four, and I'll turn to Mr. Atkins, please.
Addendum item number four is a ordinance amending ordinance number 27440, which adopted amendments to Chapter 41, Smoking of the Dallas City Code, to extend its April 10, 2009 effective date to a later designated date certain.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, colleagues. This is a different decision that we started about 2 weeks ago. And number one, I don't smoke. No one in my house smokes. I do not allow smoking in my car. We listen to most concern of the small business and the large business about smoking. And before I get started, I want to ask Forrest to come forward. Forrest, can you tell me how many bars associations are in the city of Dallas?
We have approximately 1,100 bars in the city of Dallas.
And those 1,100 is definitely in the city limit, right?
That's correct.
Correct. How did you arrive at that number?
We have a system where we look at permits and certificates of occupancy so that a bar will operate with a certificate of occupancy.
Do the city of Dallas inspect the club, or do a TABC inspect the club for license?
The TABC regulates alcohol consumption and sale in Dallas, so that agency would deal with that piece. From the standpoint of inspection, Environmental Health Services does inspection of eating establishments.
Okay. So the bar is not an eating establishment, so we do not inspect bars.
There are bars that are inspected by Environmental Health Services because of food that may be served and also ice and other beverages.
So if you say ice, that means the city is down to inspect all bars, because all bars serve ice.
There is an inspection component to bars, yes.
Okay. How often do we do an inspection?
I'm looking at, I think it's an annual. It's twice a year. Twice a year.
Twice a year. So every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So if a bar fails inspection, what do we do?
There's a list of requirements to comply. And I can't give you all those details here, but there is a list of
is anyone here to tell us?
Oh, yes. Yes. We have some. Karen Razor is the Director of Environmental Health Services. She can help you with that.
Okay, Carol, please.
Good morning.
Could you tell the list that if the bar do not pass inspection, what do we do as a city?
Yeah,
out of the 1,100 bars, when they do not pass inspection, what do we do? Because you don't try to get a record of history, what have we done in the past?
Right. It's the same as for all eating establishments. If you have a score of 70 or below, then you're reinspected within a certain time frame. If at that time your score has not improved, then we can close the facility. But it's not very often that we wind up having to close facilities. Most of the times, once we've identified what the deficiencies are, the establishments work with us to clear up those deficiencies.
Okay. Thank you. You know, 2 weeks ago, you know, we heard a concern about some of the bars owners had trouble getting permits, building the patios, smoking for the customers. I feel like, you know, I did an investigation on what's going on in this situation. One thing that I'm finding out and moving forward, you know, with caution, is where are we going today? The biggest problem I have with the bars is, number one, that the suburbs, if you on the north side of town or you're on the south side of town, when we do pass our smoking ordinance, when we on April the 10th, that those customers go to Allison or they go to DeSola or Duncanville. And it's not fair for the entire Metroplex because we lose our sales tax. But on the other hand, we talk about health, environment, a public safety for our citizens. And how do you weigh the difference between health, job, and this economic time that we're in today? And when you do that, you come to a very, very delicate decision and a delicate road to cross. We are skating on thin ice, and I do not want to fall in the pond. But also, we are a 14-1 council district, and we make a decision, and we try to make this decision on a majority. And what is the majority of the decision maker? And what I'm looking at today, we voted to place a possible 6-month extension on this last week. Yeah, we could have did 5 signatures. Then it was up to the mayor to put it on the agenda for 1 year. So the reason why we did not do that, and some people said, hey, you did it the wrong way. But we voted, we had a majority to put it on the agenda today. And that's why it got here today, because of majority rule. And because we 14-1. And we want to hear the concern of our citizens and our small business owners. Since that time, staff have investigated the majority of the club, and we're looking at the problem. Can the problem be handled? We got 1,100 bars as we stand today, and there is probably less than 1% there who try to go and get a permit.
Now,
that's my concern. We have 6 months to get the information. I just want to show a hand that how many are you actually applying for the building permit, and you actually have a building permit in your hand today? Will you please raise your hand? Now that's puzzling. You know, I went on a limb, I went out, tried to do the right thing and give all this new information. It's a period. You got one?
We are I own outside of pressing the button.
I just want to know that you have a permit, that's all. Thank you. So we do have one, but what I would like, I would ask staff to do. I think we can handle this problem on a small percentage, because there's a very, very small percentage who did try to get a permit. And I think that we can handle this through staff to make sure that we are trying to abide by the law. And I would like to ask Mary soon, Mary, since there is clearly a problem, you know, we can handle it, it's a small problem. And we're looking at maybe 1 or 2%. Would I be speaking out of turn and say, hey, can we help these small club owners? You know, as a legal problem or what? But far, since they're a small percentage, you know, the law goes into effect on April the 10th.
That's correct. So the ordinance will go into effect Friday, April 10th, 2009.
So, you know, there's a problem, you know. One person raised his hand up, less than 1%. So my colleagues, I would now move
and
defer it.
And I think, Mr. Atkins, what you're asking the city manager and Forrest is to be especially sensitive on the small businesses that are asking for permits. If we can rush inspectors over there to do inspections in a very timely manner, those sorts of things, work with them, there's particular issues that come up, that's the sort of thing you're asking, right?
That's correct. Can we do that, Pop? We can do that?
Yes.
Okay. By doing that, so my colleagues will allow me, I will now move to defer this item.
It's been moved to defer. Is there a second? Move to defer on an indefinite basis. Ms. Davis seconded that. No discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, if we could go to item number 17, please.
Yes, motion.
Motion passed. So ordered. Motion passed.
Item
17.
There
were no objections.
Item 17, Mr. Mayor,
Item 17.
Is authorize the First Amendment to the lease agreement with Phoenix House of Texas Incorporated for additional 32 years for the building located at 2345 Reagan Street.
AC. Or Karen. We are on number 17. Okay. Karen, good afternoon. Karen, I'm very familiar with Phoenix House. I know where it is, driven by their lot. I know that they do, and it's a very good asset for the city of Dallas. I understand what I have a concern about is, number one, we do own the property, don't we?
Correct, yes, sir.
I do want to make sure, and They're paying a dollar a year.
Yes.
And it's not on the tax rolls.
Pardon me?
It's not on the tax rolls.
No, sir.
And that's fine, because they do offer a great service for this community, and there are a lot of communities, a lot of entities like this, and foundations, and that help the citizens that need it in the city of Dallas. My only concern is they have a lease agreement. The current lease expires on its own term, really, in 2021. They have a lease that expires in 16, and they have a five-year option.
So it I can barely hear you.
Can you not hear me?
No.
Ma'am? Oh, okay.
We're going to ask for people in the audience to please close the doors in the back. There
okay.
We go. Now we can hear a little better.
I'm sorry. I did now. I hope you can hear me. I'm very familiar with this organization. Great organization. Familiar with the property. They have a lease agreement with the city that expires in 2016, in which they have, by our agenda, they have 1 5-year option at their option, which gives them until 2021.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct? You know, things change, times changes. I have two concerns, and this is they're providing substance treatment and prevention. This is what Phoenix House does.
Yes.
Basically. I really, and I know they're trying to do some work there, but I have a problem extending this lease for an additional 32 years. Now, let me ask you, who are you getting to draw up the lease agreement? Forrest, are you involved in this?
It's property management.
Okay. Do we have anyone here from property management? Teresa, what kind of covenants are you going to have on this lease agreement? Let's just say that, number one, for some reason, they do not treat for substances and prevention in the future. What will happen? Art, are you going to be involved in writing this lease agreement?
Yes, sir. This is our standard. We're going to be using our standard lease, but we will have typical use.
That's provisions. What I'm concerned about, using a standard lease.
Well, we will have typical use provisions that says this. We are leasing the property to this nonprofit entity for this purpose. If they breach that purpose, that is not doing the use that's provided in the lease, that will constitute a default under the lease, and we can take appropriate action.
Okay. What other covenant would you be putting in this?
They're going to be, they've got a certain level of new tenant improvement that they have to provide.
I understand
to the property.
Yes.
That will become property of the city. They're providing all the maintenance, repairs, they're paying for their own utilities. I believe it also provides, again, for the use that's being provided, and insurance requirements.
How much additional funds are there? How much are they planning on spending in that facility?
$400,000.
$400,000. I did not see that in here. So if we add an additional term out to the lease, it will expire in 2048. It's just not my modus operandi that we put the city in jeopardy for almost another 40 years. Art, any covenants in here that the city can give X notice and terminate this lease at any time?
No, sir. My understanding is this was a situation where for them to put the $400,000 worth of improvements, they didn't want a termination for convenience, and so that has not been...
Well, I'm sorry. I do not want to obligate the city in the future that we... I don't see anything wrong with... 10 or 15 or a 20-year lease. You know, they have until 21. I don't mind extending that maybe another 10 years. But to extend this another 32 years, to me, is just not good business sense. I don't care I appreciate that they're putting in $400,000, but let's look at this. $400,000, this is, they don't pay taxes anyhow.
Correct.
You know, it's 501(c), so a 39-year period, the 39 amortization period doesn't really refer to the Phoenix House, because they don't pay any taxes anyhow. So I don't want to see us get in the same problem we did at Love Field years ago, where I don't want to go for a 32-year extension on this. Did you talk to them? For us to negotiate this lease, property manager office, is that correct?
This was at the request of the agency. We've been working with them.
Well, I understand. Of course it's not the request of the agency. Did we try to negotiate with them for a little while? Do you know that for a fact, Karen?
Yes, sir. I do know for a fact that we tried to negotiate.
I'm sorry. I really hate to see this council support this. I will move for approval to extend this. They have until 21. If they want an additional 20 years, as a compromise on this, I will do this reluctantly. But I'm not going to extend this another 32 years. 20 years is plenty. 20 years will bring them until 1941, is that correct, Art? Additional 20 years if they exercise their option. If they exercise their option, they have an option. Their lease expires in 16. They have an option till 21.
You're correct.
So another 20 years will give them till 41.
That's correct.
That's a long time. I'll make a motion to approve this for an extension where they can write extensions up through 2041. Art, can are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, we're listening.
Okay. I just don't want to give a lease to extend it for a 40-year extension. I just won't. I won't do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lesinski. Point of order. So you are...
Motion that I'm...
So, Madam Secretary, there's not a motion on the table already,
for
right?
For approval. No, it's not a motion.
There's no motion on the floor.
So, Mr. Lesinski, your motion is to approve this item with the covenant that it will be only for 20 years, not 32.
For it to expire in
2041.
In 2041. So that's an extension. Instead of a 32-year extension, it will be, 21.
Okay.
And it will be for another 20-year extension.
Only 20 years.
Yeah.
We have in the audience the executive director of...
I'm sure we do. I'm sure that gentleman sitting there who's raising his hand.
Okay, Mr. Rosenthal.
Okay with that.
Can you...
Okay, let's move it on.
Okay. Can you get by with that?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rosenthal.
I think the man is... Just a moment, Madam Mayor. I'm not through yet. Can you get by with that for another 20 years?
Can you come to the front,
yeah,
please, and introduce yourself and very briefly.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you get by for another 20
years? Yes, sir. Monty Mueller, representing Phoenix House at 2345 Reagan Street. Yes, sir, I can get by. The reason that we asked for the extension was Crystal Charity selected us, and to help us raise that capital money.
I understand.
And until 2041, I don't believe that would... I believe that would give us ample room to be able to raise the money that we need.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I move for approval.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's a motion on the table to approve this item with the amendment that Mr. Rosenthal put into the record that will only go for 20 years till 2041. It's seconded by Ms. Medrano. Ms. Medrano, you still want to speak?
Yes, please. Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is actually in District 2 and in my neighborhood. They are great neighbors. They are doing yeoman's work with our youth that are at risk and have gone into a little problem. But I have gone there. I've volunteered there. They have teachers there. It is overnight facilities. They have approximately 32, 36 beds. And, yes, and they're just great neighbors. And I think that, unfortunately, we have, you know, substance abuse problems in our schools and in our neighborhoods. And this is one facility that really helps them. And I appreciate your work. I appreciate you being a great neighbor. And I definitely support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McDonald. Mr. Cabane, then Ms. Vegas.
Thank you. Where'd Forrest go? Or Ms. Reyes. In the contract, do we have any clause in there that, what if we ended up selling that property for some reason? Will we have to deal with them and buy them out?
If we end up, let's say the organization, for whatever reason, decides to move to a new location, they go out of business, there's all upside to the city in that there's a $400,000 improvement to a facility, as well as the O&M operation and maintenance that has been done for the facility. So we think it's a very good business decision, as well as allowing the city to continue having this service, this very needed service that we have.
But I don't foresee us needing that property. But if we had to use that to put a, say there was a development going in there and they needed it to finish a big completion or whatnot, could we sell the property within the lease?
No. No.
No way?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Kalane. Ms. Vegas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, just coming to understand, this is in District 2. It went to, what committee did this go to before it got on the agenda?
I don't think this went to
it. It didn't went to a committee. Now, we're talking, and this is a wonderful organization that deals with substance abuse, and I don't see substance abuse going away anytime soon, and I wish I had something like this in my own district. Now, they're asking for it up to 2048. You have another colleague in a different district who proposed it for 2041. Pauline, this is your district. Do you want the 2048 or do you want the 2041? Help me to understand. Is this his district or your district? Is this Mitch's district?
It's Ms. Medrano's district.
And so I guess I'm trying to find out.
The gentleman from Phoenix House that he could live with for a year.
He could live. I guess did, before we've written this up for 2048, did you guys get with him on another date? Or is this the date that was that date?
The original date was what is on your agenda, which was the extending it to max at 40 years. If he's willing to compromise at this point,
okay.
We're okay.
Okay then. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. So, anyone else? If no one else, there's a motion on the table. By Mr. Rosensky, second by Ms. Medrano, to extend this contract for 20 years till 2041. All those in favor, signify by say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. Madam Secretary.
Madam Mayor, the item number 23 on your agenda, item 23, is authorize the acceptance of a reimbursable matching grant from Collin County in the amount of $98,000, number 2, an increase in appropriations in the amount of $98,000 in the Collin County Fund, number 3, an interlocal agreement with Collin County for the construction of a picnic pavilion at North Fork Park, located at 4911 Haverwood Lane, and 4, termination of the interlocal agreement with Collin County for the construction of picnic pavilion at Bentwood Park.
Mr. Caraway is in the hall right here. Mr. Caraway, can you just show your hand so we have a quorum? Colleagues, no one can leave because we will lose a quorum. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The only reason I pulled this is the addresses in that were included in our agenda material were incorrect. I need to change, and I guess I'll read this all, and just part of this into the record, Madam Secretary, if it's okay. In Section 1, where the sentence reads, construction of picnic pavilion at... Nope.
Did anyone leave?
His hand, is his hand in the room okay,
Mr. Perkins? His hand is in the room. His body is in the room. Let me rephrase that for Mr. Perkins.
Okay.
And every other council member that is in the building, would someone please come down? Thank you. Go
okay.
ahead, Mr.
Back at the ranch, Madam Mayor. In Section 1, the paragraph where it says construction of a picnic pavilion at North Park Park needs to read construction of a picnic pavilion at North Park Park on Gramercy Oaks Drive, parentheses, southeast corner of George Bush Turnpike and North Dallas Tollway, close parentheses, the rest of that stays the same. Okay. And in number 3, also change the address to pavilion at North Park Park on Gramercy Oaks Drive, southwest corner of George Bush Turnpike and Dallas North Tollway. And I will give this complete thing to the city secretary. With that, I move approval.
It's been moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. With a quorum very present, Madam Secretary. Next item.
Item 27 is authorizing an increase in the contract with Ed Bell Construction Company for the reconstruction of 4,000 square feet of reinforced stamped colored concrete sidewalk for Medical District Drive for Southwest Medical Avenue to Harry Hines Boulevard.
Mr.
I ask for this not to be heard. 27. I've discussed it with
you. You sure did, Mr. Rosansky. And that is a part of the consent agenda, so it's already been approved on the consent, so I apologize.
Thank you.
Item number 28, Madam Mayor. Item 28 is authorized an increase in the contract with Flores Technical Services Incorporated to provide additional work necessary for replacement of the airport access control system at Dallas Love Field.
Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia. Mr. McGann. Okay. Support of the general and so forth, been reviewing this, Mr. McGez. I see all these change orders and supplemental agreements, and it just raises concerns about what the original scope was, what versus the scope now, what was the original budget versus what is now. So can you help me? Was there a change in scope, and was there what's the difference between the original budget, per se, and what we're at now?
Mr. Newman, the changes related to this project, this contract, and this system, security system at the airport, were driven by three factors. First and foremost, TSA changing requirements, which they've done so on more than one occasion. And by the way, this specific change is the one before you today is in fact driven by new requirements that TSA is imposing upon us. So the system has to meet these new requirements by June of this year. Now, prior to that, in addition to TSA changing requirements, we had a flooding event that occurred now close to a year and a half ago that caused us to rethink relocating some of the equipment above where it was in the basement so that it could be protected and not suffer in the event of a future flood. And there have been changes as a result of moving forward with the Love Field Modernization Program. In other words, as we've developed the plans for the modernization program, that has caused us to rethink and has required that the planning for the security system be changed as a result of those changes.
So that sounds like it's not contractor-initiated changes. It's more of our changes that we've initiated or TSA-type changes?
None of the changes required. All of these change orders were as a result of other things other than the contractor.
Okay.
They were not contractor-driven.
Because any time I look at a large contract, it looks like you're... With the original contract, the $4.8 million, it says construction cost, Ramon. That with all these stuff.
Yes, sir. The construction cost was. Yes, sir.
Okay. But you're saying these are not initiated by contractor changes, but rather by TSA or by professional staff saying based on circumstances.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay. So what do we have a budget number on this, Mr. McGann?
The total project cost for this system, Mr. Newman, was $6.35 million.
Okay. Versus what was the original budget for it? At the time that the manager came to the council and said, we need to do this project and this is the scope of the project, I'm interested in what did you communicate the cost was?
Mr. Newman, I don't have that number with me. I can calculate it for you. I know that we've had, this is the fourth, if I'm not mistaken, change to it. It would be a rather simple math arithmetic.
Ramona says 8 change orders.
Well, there are supplemental agreements to the design contract, and there were change orders to the construction contract.
Okay, so the supplementals are to the design, and the change order are to the construction?
Yes, sir. Correct. The original construction contract was 4.826.
Yes.
Awarded on October of 2006.
Okay, well, my concern, is this all coming out of the airport fund?
Yes, sir, and 75% is reimbursed through FAA.
And the FAA has no issue with these change orders or issues with the supplementals?
No, sir.
And so that's clearly going to get reimbursed. 75% of all these is from the FAA.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I just have concerns anytime I see this number of supplemental agreements, this number of change orders about the original scope versus our scope and the original dollar versus now. But you're telling me again it's not contractor-led changes. These are our-led changes.
All of the three drivers behind the changes were TSA, which quite frankly are continuously reviewing their protocol and updating, changing the requirements. The change that was caused by our desire to have certain equipment installed above the floodplain, and the changes as a result of the modernization program, as we proceeded with design of the modernization program, that defined what those needs were.
Okay. Mayor, I move approval.
Second.
Very quickly, colleagues, I'm very hard critic on our airport, Ramon, as you know, but when you do a $5.5-6 million job, and you only have 8 change orders, that is pretty darn good. You will always have change orders no matter what type of job you have. If you remodel a kitchen, you're going to have, or if you do a $200 million job, you're going to have change orders. Whether it's by us or someone else, but there's always going to be change orders. And I just want to tell you, Ramon, that 8 on a size like this is not bad at all. In fact, you can get by with 8, you're very lucky. So I am, of course, going to support you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Tinsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ramon, I just have a question for you. I'm in support of this. I understand why we're doing all these changes. My only question was, you made a statement about, and maybe my recollection's wrong, that this was one of the changes was because of the flooding situation. Wasn't that what instigated us to go have to put in a new system?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir. The new security system was instigated by a TSA requirement.
Wasn't there something, though, that was related? Maybe it was the access control system that flooded
That system did incur damage as a result of flooding.
Okay, so that's not the security, isn't it?
This is a different animal. There were components that were originally in the basement that subsequent to the flooding, we decided we needed to relocate.
Okay, well, that's fine. I thought that maybe it was the access control system that was flooded as a result, and we went in. Okay, I'm fine. I'll certainly support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matinsky. Anyone else? Hearing none, there's a motion on that table to approve agenda item number 28. Moved by Mr. Newman, second by me. All those in favor signify by say aye. All those opposed, motion carries. Madam Secretary, let's move it along.
Madam Mayor, Addendum item number three. Addendum item number 3 reads, authorize a Chapter 380 economic development grant with the Urban Land Institute to conduct an advisory services panel to develop a framework for future economic development and investment in the Southwest Center Mall.
Mr. Vincenzi.
Thank you. I'm getting around. First, colleagues, I would like to correct something. It's not the first time I've been challenged on this city council by Ms. Davis. Make it very clear that I was elected to watch over our taxpayers' dollars. We don't have a ward system here yet in Dallas, thank goodness. And if I see something in another district that affects all taxpayers, I am absolutely going to bring it up. Same way, if you see something in District 13 you have to ask questions about, please do it, because I'm sure I've missed it, and I welcome you to bring up things in District 13. So something was mentioned why I questioned something in Ms. Medrano's district, and especially when it obligates the city for another 20 additional years on a lease agreement. I will continue to bring that up, like I have the first day I was elected here, to bring up items in another district that had to do with Fair Park. I am talking about number three that has to do with Southwest Mall. First of all, I want to thank Snell Atkins for his work in his district and for the work he has done and continues doing and watching out after his district in a very, very great manner, bringing things up to this city council. I applaud Mr. Atkins for his work in his district and for what he is trying to do to Southwest Mall. This is something philosophically that I will not support and cannot support. And this has to do with the city financing going in for about $120,000 for a panel to discuss what are we going to do with Southwest Mall, which is sitting about 60% leased and 40% vacant, more or less. And we have a rent roll in here and figures in here. You know, these are trying times in the United States and the world, especially in the real estate market, where we have vacancies, and there are a lot of malls all over Dallas, all over Texas, that are continuing to see items like this where developers are on the wrong end. This particular mall is being managed by Woodmont. Is that correct, Carl? This is the Woodmont, I think, out of Fort Worth.
Woodmont is acting as the agent for Madison Realty, who's the owner.
Could you raise the mic, please?
Woodmont is acting as the agent for Madison Realty, who foreclosed.
But
and is the
Woodmont
owner.
Is handling the local management, leasing of.
That's right. They're managing the inline space.
Let me tell you what I've heard about Woodmont. They're excellent. They're excellent, and they should know what is going on there. I do not want to see this city spend $120,000 on a study and to bring the Urban Land Institute down here for about a week, pay for their hotel rooms and everything else to decide what to do with this shopping mall. They are based where?
The headquarters of the Urban Land Institute is in Washington. Its membership is nationwide.
Yes.
It's the members that come in on a volunteer basis.
And as I said at a committee meeting, I do not see anything wrong with something like this coming up again where we cannot partner with someone like SMU that has a good real estate school and some local realtors who are experienced or developers. And you brought up a good point. Some of the realtors might be biased on this. But I think if you screen and get the right developers, there are some great developers in Dallas. The one thing I don't like about this is from the 380 Economic Development Grant, correct?
That's correct.
And that's basically our water department.
That's correct.
Every time somebody uses water, they're going to be, part of this is going to be our water bills are high enough. Rather than keep burdening people. You know, I brought this up a couple of years ago. I wish you would really be more transparent instead of calling it a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant, just to call it our DWU department. I mean, for us to hide behind something like this, I don't I don't think that's being very transparent.
Mr. Zinsky, the program is 380 regardless of the source, and we could be making 380 grants whether they are water provided or whether it's money out of our
charity. I understand, but I think we could say 380 slash something. I commend Fennell Atkins for this, but philosophically, and especially yesterday, discussing this yesterday with several real estate developers in Dallas, what their thoughts were, and a couple of citizens yesterday on funding this out of our water department to get a study how to lease this up when they have an excellent, excellent management team on this. I don't think anyone from out of state is going to be able to tell us how to manage this. I know they're going to have some local representation. I just cannot support this. Thank you. Fennell, thank you for your for you trying to get this through. Thank you.
Mr. Zatzke, I'd like to add a little more information here. Number one, we're not looking for somebody to tell us how to lease it. We're looking for somebody to tell us the best use of that particular site in the future. Number two, the public-private partnership funds, which is supported by a pilot program in water, is designed to increase development, bring growth to our community, and bring more water customers. So there is logic to all of that, and if there's an improved development at that site, that will mean more people in our community, more usage of water. That money will be basically coming back to water. So it's an investment in our future, and it's the public-private partnership funds.
Ms. Boone, I appreciate you mentioning that. Fortunately for me, I don't agree with you. Yes, it brings more water if they use it, but this is not our property. This is not our property. They have an excellent management team to manage this. It just so happens they lost their big boxes that went somewhere else. They have a management team. The owner is in New York. I think Madison Realty, Madison Partners, whatever they're called, are they stationed in New York?
They are. They're a lender who is in a temporary ownership position,
yes.
and Woodmont is just their contract officer.
Okay. I've also heard rumors that they have someone maybe looking at this to purchase. I've heard some rumors.
I think it's like a lot of other things. There are a lot of people talking.
Okay, so that's not being denied. Again, Ms. Boone, I appreciate what you have said, but as far as I'm concerned, that this opens the door for other projects to come in, and somebody's going to say, well, sure, we'll take a look at this. But I also heard another thing about this, and it was from your own staff members, that they're looking for additional funds from the city of Dallas for this project. So, when that comes up, we'll be able to take a look at it and decipher it. But I don't think these funds should be coming out of our water department. This is private ownership, and we should not get involved with that. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Soon.
Ready to jump in. I think,
why don't we go to Mr. Atkins?
Thank you, Mayor.
Colleagues, thank you again. We always learn from the past, and we're in the present today. If we were there in the past, 20 or 30 years ago, we would know the future of Southwest Center Mall. We do have an infrastructure problem at Southwest Center Mall, how to get to the mall back and forth. And just imagine if you're going west from Tally's, you have to pass the mall and go a block or two blocks away to make a U-turn to get to the mall. Just imagine you come from 67 going north, you had to exit almost a mile before you get to the mall. If you look at your diagram, if you're going south to north, you had to pass the mall and exit on Redbird to get to the mall. Is that our fault? Yes. Because we should have been looking at a plan, a design for structure, how to get there, service road. Lemon Coop and I drove there. We had a first meeting at Dallas Lake Airport. I said, Linda, let's take a drive to this mall. Even though we know the majority of malls in the country is in bad shape, but this is in the heart of our community. And we drove, we wonder, what can we do? The infrastructure is already in place. It's very difficult to change the infrastructure. How to get to the mall with TxDOT. Should have the city stand by and let the mall close down. The mall has been in bankruptcy for over 2.5 years. Majority of the colleagues, my colleagues in the county, did not know the mall was in bankruptcy. We kept it quiet for our community's sake. Majority of our residents did not know that the city of Dallas were called on and the lights were going to get cut off at Staples Center Mall. We didn't have to, but we did it for our community. We made sure the lights stayed on at Staples Center Mall, and that's our taxpayer money. But I offered our right to make sure that we got a safe environment for our community. We didn't have to do that, but we did it. There were trash, garbage, all around the mall. During the holiday, I myself personally went to the mall to help pick up the trash. And I got also said, Forrest Turner did not have to use taxpayer money to clean up the mall. We did not have to do that, but we did it because it is our community. And it's the right thing to do. This night did not help once. It helped more than once. 3 times we came there. They did not have a proper security. DPD, our department, a police department, went to the mall and supplied security for the mall. During the Christmas holiday, we passed overtime for our police department to make sure that our community was safe around the mall. Now, we could stand by and let the mall went in bankruptcy, foreclosure. Maybe we had a big team of gone, and maybe the other tenants would not have not been there today. But we as a city and we as a community, we have obligations to our community. And this obligation is a mall that long as I am a city council person here, we are going to take care of our community. And this is in my community. It will be taken care of, and we have done that. Now, my colleague, Mitch Rezanski, made a couple of statements about Woodmont Development Company. Mitch, no disrespect, that if you was in my district, you'd probably see it my way. Woodmont is just a management company of the company who was in bankruptcy. That's all they did. It was just a management company. The community and the citizen met with Woodmont on many occasions. They was appointed by the trustee, by the court, to manage the mall. Just to manage it. Not to maintain it, not to market, just to manage it, just to collect rent. In the meantime, Madison is the lender, but Madison also has some investors who invest the mall. Southwest Center Mall was not tied up with Southwest Center Mall. Southwest Center Mall was tied up with more than 3 malls throughout the city, throughout the state. When you have a foreclosure go in place and you got to decipher that this landlord who do not own the whole mall, and you got 34 different tenants at the mall, and we're talking about anchor tenants, and when you talk to Sears, Macy's, and Bozeman, that the main issue is why they say they stand there because sales is up, but it's not fair for the city of Dallas to say, hey, we're not going to help you out. We're not saying that we're taking this 380 money to the Southwest Center Mall and do a study. There will be no developer in a right mind is going to come in there and try to buy this mall. Now, Carl, economic development, tell me why, by doing this ULI and having ULI to do this, the best use for this mall, developer will come and look at it because we're doing it. Is that yes or no? Tell me if I'm wrong.
This, in my mind, is the best way to lay the groundwork for future interest and adaptive reuse of that mall. There's no guarantee that retail by itself will be the best use of that mall. There are a lot of 1970s era malls in the country that have fallen into disrepair. So this isn't an unusual situation. And the reason that we requested the ULI panel, it really came out of the Southern Sector Task Force Committee. Really requested that we take a look at this, but we've had an experience with ULI task forces before. You get a lot of experts, different disciplines, who have had a lot of experience in these types of situations, so we felt like they could have very good input and could provide future developers or future investors with good, unbiased input on the best redevelopment uses of this mall. So in answer to your question, we feel like that would improve the chances of a responsible developer coming in to redevelop.
Well, colleagues, if you realize about 2 months ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, we was at the Dallas City Library and they said we need to think out of the box. You know, everybody heard the word corral. We need to go and corral something, you know. And everybody said, hey, what you talking about? I think Southwest Center Mall is in that corral. And we need to use all our tools in our toolbox to make sure that we put our effort in that corral. And that is our toolbox. We're going to use every tool that we have to make sure Southwest Mall is going to be there. There is a mall in Denver we're going to look at, see how they redid. It might be in Denver, it might be outside of Denver, not for sure. But we got to use our toolbox. And everybody said, you know what? You know, we're trying to go south. We're trying to go, trying to do all these different developments south of the Turner River. But when we do go south, we got to have a plan. And colleagues, I'm asking you today, we got to have plans. If we don't have any plans, why spend taxpayer money? And it was Mitch that we have a plan, Mitch. We got a plan with Southwest Center Mall. If you look at a zip code, and we ask y'all to look at a zip code, at 7532, 75237, that look at the retail money spent. Majority of people live in that neighborhood. They're going to Cedar Hill. They're going to Galleria. They're going way across the Arlington or Town East to spend taxpayer money. They prefer to live and spend their money. Because we are going to the place in our community, we're going to walk, we're going to be entertained, we're going to sleep, in our community. And that's why I said today that I ask your colleagues to pass this because this is my community, but also your community also. And I will move this. No, second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor Leffert. You know, I just wanted to, I'm not going to be long with this, I want to respond to my colleague, Mitch. Mitch, you know, I've been here for 2 years. This is your last term here, and I have a great deal of respect for you. You have, you thoroughly look at the agenda item, and that is your right as a colleague and as a council member. But I try to respect each council member and their quest in their own district. My issue is when council members call and make the motion for someone else's district, that is my only concern. But you do have the right to look at any council district, and you do have the right, as you choose, to question any amount that the city of Dallas have on the agenda. Sometimes you have gone and questioned 15 items out of 15 council members. So that is your right. And I want to put that on the agenda okay? That's your right. But my problem is when you make the motion for someone else in their own district. Thank you so much, sir.
Mr. Tiske, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, this process that we're bringing in the ULI for is really not that much different than what we did when we got first involved in the International Inland Port of Dallas. We had staff work on it. Everybody got excited. We thought we had a good plan. And what we did is we brought in a fresh set of eyes to kind of validate what it is we were doing, whether we were right, whether we were wrong, and give us some other ideas. We have wrestled with Southwest Center Mall for a number of years. There's been, I can't tell you how many countless hours and amount of effort that have been gone in to try to find a solution for it. I think that it's time to bring in a fresh set of eyes. We have colleagues, I think this was passed out this morning, at the Economic Development Committee where this was recommended for approval to the council. We asked for the property values that comprised all the various properties in the Southwest Center Mall. There are 33 different pieces of properties that comprise that mall, and that's one of the problems that we have in finding a solution to its redevelopment or prospective reuse. It is currently on the tax rolls for $56 million. That's in the state that it is today. It's not what it needs to be, but it's on there for $56 million. That's bringing in $420,000 worth of property taxes to the city every year. And we've got a great opportunity to take and reuse that property either as a new mall, as a different type of mall, or some sort of other adaptive reuse. We do need to look at the access problems, but I think this is one of those things where the dollars that we spend to bring in ULI and have this work done is going to repay us many times over, because we're going to have a prospective solution in front of us that we can move forward with. So I'll certainly be supporting this, and I would recommend that all of my colleagues also support it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Dr. Garcia, please.
Yes, very quickly, Mayor. I am going to be supporting this item, not only because I feel, to a certain extent, that we have not done enough when it comes to Southwest Center Mall. And this is not a comment against economic development. I know we have tried many, many times, but like Mr. Natinsky says, we just haven't found that piece of the puzzle that will actually make a difference. I definitely believe that ULI have made a difference in a lot of other projects, Mr. Sabakowski. I can mention, for example, that we had ULI look at the Oakley Gateway. And I have to tell you, it created the excitement and, more importantly, brought to the table many of the developers in the area and the existing developers to the point that they wanted to do something. With that being said, the Trinity River Corridor project brought the second wave of excitement. So, Mr. Atkins, I totally believe that ULI will bring a different perspective, a different view, will create the feeling that people are ready to work. And I see Ms. Pemberton in the audience who has been, you know, emailing us for the last 7 years, Ms. Pemberton, at least. This is the number of years I've been here, of how important it is to bring to the table everyone together, and I don't think we have done that. Mr. Sabakowski, thank you to your staff. Mr. Natinsky, thank you for bringing this forward. Mr. Atkins, I think we have a new opportunity, a bright new day for Southwest Center Mall, and as a council member who has been here for the last 8 years, I think we owe it to you and to the southern sector to bring this new set of eyes into this project. And if I remember correctly, Mr. Natinsky passed unanimously your committee yesterday, except for Mr. Rosensky.
Yes, except for Mr.
Rosensky. Okay. All forward and congratulations.
Thank you, Dr. Steve. Mr. Carroway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me say access is the key. Access is the key. Councilman Atkins, I kind of piggyback on some of the things that you were saying, especially as relate to accessibility. I can name three scenarios very quickly that have had a lack of access, and when you have a lack of access, then look for the opportunity of growth to not be there. Had it been that Southwest Center Mall years ago had access, then maybe we would not be talking about this today in this vein. Had it been that Oak Cliff had been connected with I-30 and not cut off from the rest of the world. Maybe Oak Cliff would have that access and we would be just as thriving, but we don't have it. Had we had the proper access on the Lancaster corridor, with the dark rail killing Lancaster on both sides, the businesses up and down there because of a lack of accessible access. Those have been the problems. Now, with that being said, there is a need and a responsibility that we must have and take to make sure that we do every single thing that we can to correct the problems that created the problem. Had the exits been there, I do believe that Southwest Southern Mall would have been a different mall. Had the dark rail had more exits. And Ms. Coop has done a tremendous job and has commissioned some studies, I want to say, and I appreciate that, commissioned studies on this. So she has her commitment to make sure that we take a relook at some of the very things that we have these concerns about. But as we move forward, it is very important that not only do I support Southwest Center Mall, the area, that entire community, Lancaster Carter, Wynwood Shopping Center, all of those different things that need attention in our area. But I'm going to roll up my sleeves and be there to make sure that this is approved, and to make sure that it has all of my support. But I want us to begin to take a look at how we got there and continue to move forward as we're doing today, correcting the things best we can, and it's going to take us rolling up our sleeves and understanding that we're going to have to work together. The reason I salute Ms. Coop, because she heard the cry, and she's commissioned a study on her own behalf to go and take a relook at some of the things that's under her direction that she can somewhat control. So just want to say that, Mr. Atkins, and we're going to move forward. I'm in total support.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Mr. Hoover, please. Thank you, Mayor. I'll be in support of the motion to approve. Tunnel, it indeed is in District 8, but I will tell you, if I'm in the neighborhoods just right adjacent to that District 3, and people ask me all the time, well, what's going on with Southwest Center Mall? Boom, 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 boom. So it is a larger neighborhood issue than a district boundary. And we as council members, yes, we respect districts, but we always have to look at the larger picture. Ms. Pemberton lives down in Mountain Creek. You'd never think so. She's all throughout all of Oak Cliff. So this is a larger issue for Oak Cliff, for the south, for the southern area of Dallas. I'm very much in favor of getting an outside expertise analysis to say what can be based on what is. So I'm very supportive. I think it's a good use of taxpayer funds because it's a long-term picture that we're looking for. And I'm in the Economic Development Committee meeting that Mr. Natinsky chaired, my questions with the staff really zeroed in on what are the expectations about the results of the study. Are they going to be action items, things that give us some tangible things that we can move forward with? And that's what I'm hoping for. And the second key indicator to me was, do we have another existing plan on the shelf, and you said no. Correct, Carl?
That's correct.
So, and we don't intend to have this just be a plan to be put on the shelf, correct?
That's correct. I mean, if you look at the study that ULI did, the panel that they did on the International Inland Port, there were a very specific set of recommendations.
Okay, good. Because we want to be actionable, and I think that's the intention, is to take action. I even think Ms. Pemberton was in D.C. a couple weeks ago asking those very questions about, with officials in D.C., about what are the things that we can do to jumpstart this. So, Mayor, Council members, I'm in favor of this. I think it's a good use of our resources. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hilbert.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Atkins, I commend you for bringing this to us. You know that you have my very enthusiastic support on this. You have worked very, very hard to bring this item to us. Mrs. Albakowski, certainly you and your team have worked with Mr. Atkins, that he initiated this and has brought it to culmination. And I not only support it, I support it with great enthusiasm. Ms. Pemberton is sitting here. Ms. Pemberton, as you know, what Mr. Atkins did not say when he talked about the lights and the cleanup was that the minute you called him, he got right on it and made sure that that happened. Without Mr. Atkins' personal intervention, that would not have happened. Ms. Pemberton is shaking her head. to agree with what I'm saying. Mr. Atkins has looked after that mall. He has spent countless hours doing work in front of the camera, behind the camera, to take care of that mall. Ms. Pemberton, we thank you for working with him and for getting hold of him when that needed to happen. Certainly, we need to look at how we're going to use that facility. Mr. Atkins mentioned that when we were at the library with the land use experts, they brought to our attention the mall that's outside of Denver. Mr. Atkins and I have plans to go and take a look at that and see if that's something we should bring to Dallas, because we are going to have to look at a different kind of use for that mall. Ms. Coop knows that we're going to have to look at access, even though we may have some challenges there. Mr. Atkins is correct that the folks in our community in zip codes 32, 41, 16, and 17 are going to Cedar Hill to shop. And I cannot hire one single police officer with the sales tax that is spent in Cedar Hill. Not a single one. And so I want to do everything I possibly can to assist Mr. Atkins in bringing usages to that mall, different usages, certainly, because I don't think it's going to come back simply as a retail center. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the venue will look different. But, Mr. Atkins, again, I want to commend you for your work. You have not taken nearly enough credit for the work you have done in keeping this mall open and revitalizing it and pointing us in the direction for the future. I enthusiastically support this item and will certainly be voting for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, please.
Councilman Atkins, I too commend you on your hard work, and especially the behind-the-scenes work that you've done on this. I know we've had numerous conversations, you and I, about it, and your excitement to move this forward. I concur that what we're after is the highest and best use. It's a great location. It's a great location. We want the highest and best use. Over 160-plus acres that we have. Note that the tax value is $56 million. We recently are in the process of putting in a new town center in my district, which is half the size, but seven times the tax value. So there's a lot of excitement, I believe, that can be built out of this. And, again, it'll go back to just getting some new eyes to look at what's in the best interest for the highest and best use and the best interest of that community. So, again, Councilman Atkins, thank you for your guidance and direction.
Thank you, Mr. Tiske, please.
And just quickly, Mr. Mayor, I forgot to mention earlier, and Mr. Atkins mentioned it, and then Ms. Hill brought it up also. You know, we are losing a considerable amount of sales tax revenue to our very friendly, and we like them, southern neighbors, but we would rather keep that sales tax in the city of Dallas. And if you look at the potential that we've got at that mall, if it comes back in some other retail-oriented fashion, the dollars that we're going to bring back into the city of Dallas that are not going to go to our neighboring suburbs to the south are going to more than repay the small amount of money that we're going to invest in doing this study and moving this project forward. But it's the long-term goals that we need to do. Mr. Atkins referred about people from the southern sector driving all the way up to Ms. Coop's district to shop at the Galleria. Well, what we don't want, Mr. Atkins, I say this kind of jokingly, we don't want to take away from the money that's being spent up in Ms. Coop's district. What we do want to take away from is DeSoto and Duncanville and all those other suburbs, okay? So as long as we don't touch that, you know, keep the Galleria good. Well, this, maybe we need to rename it Galleria South or something so that they'll think they're going to the Galleria and they'll just be over at Southwest Center Mall. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gipsy. Ms. Coop, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, everything has already been said, but I just want to make just a couple of comments because I do support Mr. Atkins' zeal to get Southwest Center Mall in good shape and producing taxes, more taxes, and also get the infrastructure improved out there as well. Cinderella City, Judge Hill mentioned Cinderella City. That was the mall in Denver that has been completely redone. It's a very interesting study in how we turn over urban areas. They had a lot of success with it. They had to reconfigure their streets there, but it had very, very good access off of I-25. kind of a similar situation as far as the I-25 is about the size of I-20, which runs by Southwest Center Mall. But it would be an interesting case study for the staff to look at the Cinderella City and how they turned it over. Using the interior street pattern, they completely changed the interior street pattern on it. So that was a good point to bring up, and I had kind of forgotten about that, but it's a success story that I think we need to look at. The other thing is, you know, when we're doing the study, and we talk about this in economic development, can we come up with some short-term ideas to address access and then look at the longer term? Because the idea, I would think, even if the mall 10 years from now or something completely different, that doesn't help us tomorrow. Tomorrow it would help us to have signage out there and so on and so forth so people would know which exits to take. And we thought of this really great idea, and Tanel and I were kind of joking about how we could do that. And we said, well, why don't we just take an interior street and rename it Southwest Center Mall Street, and then that way off the highway, because TxDOT doesn't change any of their highway signs unless it's after a street, and so that way off the highway it would be that. So I don't know if that's a possibility, but I thought that was a good idea you had. So I support this, Tanel. You've worked really hard on this project, and so I think it's worthy of certainly asking the premier planning agency in the country to look at it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zansky, please.
Very quickly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Real quickly, mall is about 1,200,000 square feet, more or less.
Yeah, 1,100,000, yeah.
Sir?
1,100,000, yeah.
Yeah, 1,100,000, 1,200,000, okay. And the two big boxes make up the majority of the vacancy there.
That's correct.
Absolutely, probably 80-85%.
I think there's only about 300,000 plus in the...
Well, 300,000, that's 75% of it. Yeah, more or less. So the mall's really not doing it. The only thing I've heard from all of us, we don't own it. Has the owner offered to pay for this? $120,000?
No, the owner is not.
Has not offered to pay for it.
The owner is a financial institution.
I understand, but meanwhile, they own a $50 million project, and they don't want to do it. I wish you all luck on this, but let me tell you, everybody's mentioned bankruptcy. We have the highest bankruptcy in this city and county than we've had in years and years and years, because people can't pay. And I'm just not a supporter of us going in here on a private investment and offering to do a study, and part of that is to bring six or eight people down here, dine and feed them for a week on taxpayers' money. Thank you.
Mr. Atkins?
Mitch, you know, for so long, and I've been in Dallas all my life, and we talk about $120,000. I can talk about a whole lot of projects around the city that would spend more money than that in taxpayer money. This is the southern sector. This is a community that Dave Newman, Francis Hill, Dwayne Carraway, and Paula, the whole southern sector, they benefit. And I think this is best use for the taxpayer money. I can imagine that Southwest Center Mall will close down and all the lights out, and what kind of hole in the wall we will have. So I address your question, colleagues, again. I think I have your support. Let's move forward.
Yep. Let me make a couple of comments. First of all, Mr. Atkins, thanks to you. I know how many times you're over there on a continual basis. I've had a chance to walk through with you a couple different times. We've talked to a lot of the tenants. You've really shown an interest in this. I can tell you, when this first went into bankruptcy, Mr. Atkins and I had a conversation. We pulled the attorneys in, and we injected ourselves into that bankruptcy very quickly so we could watch to see what was happening, who was taking control, what was going to be the process, all of those sorts of components. I think what's key on this is two issues. Number one is the investment that the city of Dallas has in that. And clearly it is a private entity, but the reality of it is it's a big piece of land. It's got enormous implications to this community. And the way it's structured now, it is almost impossible to be able to deal with it. As was pointed out by Mr. Atkins, there's 34 different owners. You have the big box, which have a separate ownership. The inlines have a very difficult time of accomplishing anything given those ownerships. So you have some structural issues that are going to have to be dealt with. If that doesn't rebound, not only because the community suffer, but the tax base of the city of Dallas is also going to suffer. So I think it is very much in our interest to engage in and be a driving force in what happens there. It's going to take private investment. There's no question about that. But we have got to be a player in this, because if we miss out on this, we're going to miss out on that entire area, and we'll pay for it long, long into the future. The second, unfortunately, there was somewhat at least derogatory comments made on ULI. Carl, I think you did a good job of addressing those. The reality of it is this is probably about as cost-effective means of trying to get the expertise we can get as you can imagine. If we got a private consulting group to come in, I can guarantee you it would be a several-fold increase over what we're paying there. In addition, if we got a local group, if we got an academic group, we would not have the expertise that we're getting. What ULI will give is a very practical expertise of people that have actually been out developing these things, redeveloping, renovating, and restructuring these things literally all across the country. The gentleman that's going to head this brings 30 years of experience on both the public and the private side. And as was mentioned, we've worked with ULI in a number of situations previously. So this is, I think, exactly the way to go at it. We are very fortunate that there's a number like this. We will get feedback middle of June and then have some additional information in written form. But for the most part, we're going to get, I think, 80% of the answer when they walk out of here middle to the end of June. So it's important to keep in mind this is in bankruptcy. The end lines, I should say, in bankruptcy. The remainders are not in bankruptcy, so it compounds it even more. And unless we find a way to pull all of those ownerships together in some type of a master plan and engage people, it is not going to happen. And ULI, I believe, is the best and most cost-effective manner to get there. Mr. Carraway, did you want to add something?
Thank you, Mayor. Just wanted to say, and even to Mitch, what do we do? What do we do? We cannot just sit there and allow the mall to sit idle and just sit idle and just wait. Something has to move forward for those folks and that community, and I'd much rather be doing something than sitting and waiting. We don't have a movie theater, and Southwest Cinema Mall would be the perfect place. I don't even want a movie theater, and I shouldn't say I don't want a movie theater at Langston Keith, but the best location for a movie theater in the southern sector, and that's just one thing, would be Southwest Cinema Mall, and that's just one thing. So we're going to have to move forward and do something. We just can't sit by and let another year pass and let another year pass and let another year pass.
Are you asking me?
No, well, not really. Okay. All right. I'll just make this one. But certainly, I appreciate and I'll sum up to only say that we must move forward with some type of plan versus just sitting idly by. It's like having a vacant house, and when you have a spider web over there, then you get one spider web, then you get another, then you get another, then you get another, then the wood start rotting, and then all of those things start taking place. We cannot afford, and that community does not deserve, to have nothing less than the very best. They pay the same amount of taxes all over the city. They need the same and deserve the same amount of attention that we're going to bring. And we need to start getting some things. And movie theater is just one thing. I don't know what's going to happen with them all or what we need to do. But it's not my district, but I'm in staunch support of what happens in that area. Those areas of 5 and 6, well, there's 5 and 8. Whatever it takes over in the you all's area, then I'm in total support, because we need to have it, and we're not going to sit on our hands and not do nothing. We must do something.
And Edna, thanks for what you're doing, too. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered.
I do not support it because we have a statute.
There's one objection. The objection will be shown, and that's
Thank
Mr. Rosanski.
Thank you for letting me finish, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome to vote. The objection was noted. Madam Secretary, 35, we do not have any boards and commissions. So I believe that takes us to the last item, which is item number 5 on the addendum. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Addendum item number 5 is authorized contract with the injury management organizations for a workers' compensation certified network for the period of May 1st, 2009 through November 30th, 2010.
Mr. Desi.
Thank you, Ms. Mary. Mary?
Yes.
Good afternoon. Mary, I've read this over several times. This is a contract with injury management organization not to exceed $855,000. Now, prior to that, we had a contract with TriStar for $11,971,000. Correct.
Yes, but this is two different contracts.
Ma'am?
These contracts are for two different things. Changes in the state law have enabled us to...
I didn't ask. No, we were going a little bit too far. That's all wrong. But we had a contract with TriStar for $11,971,000.
Yes.
Okay. There has been some changes made. My question to you is... This is a contract with injury management organization for $855,000. Is TriStar reducing their contract?
No, sir. This is an additional contract. State law has changed
and
enabled us to create an entity that we can send our injured workers to.
I understand.
A program.
No.
And through that, we will be able to save money. It is a separate contract from TriStar.
Now, I read that memo you sent.
Right.
I believe you said it should save us about $1,000,001.
Yes, sir.
An estimate.
It's a new change in state law that enabled us to take advantage of that.
It should, but I guess through my feeble mind, this is TriStar. TriStar is our third-party liability claim administrator, and all current claims are still going to go through.
Yes, absolutely, but this is creating a medical network for the people to take advantage
of.
So,
since it is going to decrease and save us $1,000,001, it's possibly less work for them?
No, sir. There'll be less cost for the medical treatment for the individuals that are hurt.
Did we discuss this with TriStar?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
About reducing their contract?
It's not to reduce their contract. It will reduce the medical expenses that are involved with people that have workers' comp claims.
Okay. I don't remember. Did we have a briefing on this?
No, sir.
We did not have a briefing on this. I didn't think we did because... Did it go to any committee?
No, sir.
Okay, I've heard enough that I just will not support almost $1,000,000 extra without either going to briefing or committee. Thank you.
Dr. Garcia, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And, this is a contract that we voted several years ago. The reality is that TriStar risk management has saved the city over $40 million in this room. I mean, can you please say it in the microphone? I don't remember exactly, but...
Yes, they have saved a lot of money.
A lot of money. So this was a vote, and in this amendment will continue to decrease the amount of money that the city has to pay, over $1,000,008. In the time when workers' compensation has been going up and medical costs have been going up, I think this is a no-brainer, as a matter of fact. Now, let me just ask you very quickly about... the performance and savings of this company. Can you just mention something for the record? Because this is a company that we hired, and we didn't know what it was going to really come out. We knew it looked good. We knew we were going to save money. But it came out to be better than we expected, wasn't it?
That's correct. As a reminder to council, when we established this contract in 2005, we had a goal of avoiding $3 million over a three-year period. We not only avoided the $3 million, but as Dr. Garcia mentioned, over this four-year period, we've actually avoided $40 million total. And so the work will continue. TriStar is the primary contract holder. Injury Management Organization has always been the subcontractor. State law now precludes that IMO subcontract with TriStar in the way of a network. They've always been a cost containment group. So the only thing that we're doing is we're branching IMO out as a direct contract to them so that we can continue our cost containment strategy.
It's a certified organization with over 34 different networks.
Well, actually, they are one of 34 networks in the state of Texas, but they are the only minority-owned and operated network.
Right. And with the remaining of this contract, we still continue to save money. Am I correct? Over $800,000, probably more?
Actually, about $1,000,001. That's correct.
Okay. So, colleagues, in my opinion, this was a contract that this council voted correctly. It has continued to operate. Now, we are doing these changes to comply with the state law. In my opinion, it's a win-win situation for the city. So I move for approval.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. It is now 12:24 on April 8th, 2009. City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071. of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters: legal issues regarding the Samuel Perlman Foundation, the Samuel Trust Fund, park properties devised under the will of Dr. W.W. Samuel, and related matters. I anticipate that we will be back in session at 1:15, and our hope is then to conclude business no later than 2 o'clock.
Mayor, excuse me for interrupting you. I was talking this through, and when you took the vote, I apologize. On the prior issue, I wanted to vote no. I mentioned that. It's my apology. Mary asked me to stand, and I did go over there. So on the prior issue, I...
No. It's been moved to reconsider.
Thank you, colleagues.
All those favors, I say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to
yes.
orders?
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No.
No.
You don't want to do that. You withdraw that objection. There was a wrong motion, Mitchell. Just withdraw the objection. Now, we're back on. Can I have a motion on the item?
Reconsider. Okay.
Yeah.
It's been moved by Dr. Garcia. It's seconded by Ms. Coop. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. It will be shown. All, with that, we're in recess to 1:15. We're back in session at 1:17. Item 36 is an urban land bank demonstration program. To read in the record, it's a public hearing. Receive comments on the proposed amendments to the City of Dallas Fiscal Year 8-9 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program, which would allow rental housing units on land bank lots and/or rental housing units.
I don't think so.
Let's try again. Fair enough. This is reading the record, item 36. It's a public hearing. Received comments of the proposed amendments to the City of Dallas 8-9 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program, which would allow rental housing units on land bank lots and/or rental housing units above a retail commercial development located on a land bank lot to require 15-year deed restrictions for affordability to households. It would also authorize approval of the amended City of Dallas Fiscal Year 8-9 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program. Are there any speakers on this item?
No, sir. No speakers have signed up on the item. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on this item? Any speakers? 36 is item 36, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Item number 36. No, Mr. Mayor, there are no speakers.
Okay. Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary.
Yes, sir. Item number 37. Item number 37 is authorized approval of the amended City of Dallas 2008-09 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan.
Any speakers?
No, there are no speakers that have signed up on my item.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? That completes our agenda for today. We'll go to our afternoon speakers.
Our first speaker this afternoon is going to be, and the last name is Hassan, H-A-S-S-A-N. He's not here, Mr. Mayor. Next speaker is Germa Woldal Raphael. Not present. Unzamba Nwex.
I don't believe
he's not here. Frank Ward.
Yay.
William Hopkins.
Yay.
Leslie Allen Davis.
Oh.
Leslie Allen Davis here to speak for the city council.
Mr. Davis.
Oh, my name, what's me?
hold on 1 second and let me read the rules into the record, okay? And then you can speak. The rules of citizens and visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council, or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant-at-arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak. When you see the amber light, that means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. You're ready, Mr. Davis, to recite your name and address.
Leslie Davis, 385 East Davis, 441. Today, it's time for a change. Everybody out there in TV land, you know these city councilmen officers will vote. We got two of them leaving, Mr. Rosinski and Dr. Evergard. So we need a good person to take their pick because they are outstanding people. But we need to get on the other city council. If you want the city council to do something, call now. This is the time. Because they don't tell them wait till after they vote. Get it right now while they're in office. Even the mayor. Get them while they're in office. Okay, another thing, to the Jews, get rid of those computers. If you got an opportunity to have one computer for every 10 family, because they got new virus that's going to take all you. Y'all know y'all want got the money. They're going to try to get you out first, and they need a bridge between the other group, racial groups to get you out. So y'all need to be on y'all P's and Q's. And city employees, I need to have somebody get me about the tie where these city employees have been treated. That's who the world sees, our city employees that get out there on the streets. So I want to see what the city council really take care of the city employees. So if any city council employee want to get with me after this and tell me what is really going on down here with these city councilmen, they really treating all right. They talk that talk, and we need a union up here. What happened to the union 2 years ago, Mr. Tuck? I mean, I can't call your name. Mr. Mayor, we both had a union. We ain't got a union in the city all year neither. Okay. We need to put come on, wait a minute. You can't rush me. I don't rush you, baby. I do not rush you. Give him my three. On these bars, only one of the man got killed on Friday. He got set on fire. His cause his bars were released from the inside. So we need to put a special, that's the thing Mary told me to do, put more emphasis on putting fines on people who have bars that don't release from the inside. And I see. Barack Obama, could you please step down for one term and come back in the next 4 years and show them what you're really working with? Don't do that. Don't let the crowd do something that's never been done for to be able to step down from office and come back. Return of the Jedi. And, see what else? I got 53 seconds. We need to work together. I am my brother's keeper. And injustice anywhere, I see him in the bathroom. Injustice anywhere to the White House. Anyway, injustice anywhere in the world is a threat to justice anywhere in the universe. So if you see something wrong, do something. If you're scared to do something, you're scared to go to the police, please tell them that you're doing something wrong. And see what else? Y'all got to rush this thing. Y'all, I caught down, I caught this just in time. Y'all caught me, y'all caught me slipping. I'll be ready to see next week, though. And let's see, I got 21 seconds. God bless you. I love you. I must let you know y'all made me so mad I want to kick your feet off your back foot. But I still love because I got to learn how to love. I ain't talking about sexy, I'm talking about agape love. The most powerful love in the whole universe. We love men as well as women, even dogs even. I got to learn to love you. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day. Y'all be listening.
Bye-bye, Mr.
Bye now.
Our next speaker is
Mr. Zeth, you want to make.
Thank you.
Mr. Davis.
Did you see a comment or a compliment?
Both of them. Compliment. I mean, either one. I'm here afraid of y'all people.
I appreciate you coming down here, and I know you didn't mean any harm in it. And I think it's wrong the way you addressed me to begin with.
What you mean, saying? What you mean, saying?
According to my religion.
I'm not going to join people. You tell me the words, then I say it. Just say what to say. I say it. I don't want to offend nobody. Yeah. That's not my objective.
Point was made, Dr. Garcia. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Mayor. Mr. Davis, thank you as always for your energy, for being here. And believe it or not, I still love your beautiful smile. You take care. I'll be calling you.
All
I think it's an indication that Mr. Radansky and Dr. Garcia are going to miss you. Those are the two comments.
Our next speaker is going to be Kay Sissy McPhail, Wayne Wooten.
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Wooten. I live at 1000 Grisby. I've been concerned about this reunion arena being torn down because it's a historical monument now. The first African-American president was at that reunion, and it should be kept as a historical monument to African-Americans in this city. I'm sure y'all haven't taken that under consideration because we don't have no black history in Dallas. Basically, at least my history was destroyed. But I think we should take under consideration that the first African-American president of the United States of America made a presentation there, and it should be reconsidered as a historical monument. Curfew. I'm in total disagreement of anyone being under curfew. Children, grown people. When you get into curfew, you get into communism. You get into a government that tells you when to go to bed, what time to get up, where you're supposed to go. And the right to assemble is a constitutional right. Because people are up early in the morning, they might be homeless. They might not have nowhere to go. They might have been at the temporary agency trying to get on the back of a trash truck. I don't watch people 24 hours a day, but the Constitution gives us freedom of speech and the right to assemble. The children are the weakest link. And they're not kids, they're children. And it's the teacher's responsibility to give them the motivation for education, not the police. And there should be something done when a child does not want to go to get an education. There's something wrong with that institution. And I don't think we should be in the business of policing children, having to pay $500 because they're late to a class. If you have not raised any children, then you don't know how to communicate with them. And if you're working with children for a salary, you're working with them for the wrong reason. Children need leadership. And the police are not positive leaders in this city, as far as I'm concerned, because I've been falsely arrested by them twice and physically abused by them. And so I don't want no police touching my child, not talking to him. I don't want them nowhere close to him. And 30 years ago, Mr. Atkins, a citizen could come down here when it was predominantly white and speak on every agenda item for 5 minutes. Everyone on the agenda. I've been here since 74. That was the first time I was arrested, was for taking over the city council chamber on hardwood and commerce. And may I want to ask you for that 10 seconds that you give everybody. I want something done about coal. I want coal enforced. I want rats out of apartments. I want rusted water out of apartments. And I'm running for District 2. And I thank you, Ms. Madrona, for everything you've done for me when I asked you to do something. Thank you.
Appreciate you being with us.
Our final speaker is Jewel Floyd. That's all of our speakers this afternoon.
It's 1:28. We're recessed. Thank you very much.